Sands Midnight. Almost midnight.
You know, it's really hard to come into this intro after Undead has made comments like a grandpa about rap music.
Almost midnight.
It makes
that's
it.
Like, that's a trap beat, bitch.
Listen, I don't mind rap music when it's good. When it's shit like you played last week, I just ain't down.
It was double Draken, all right? We had to play some Drake.
Danny put it in there because he thought Undead will never listen.
Yeah,
to
see,
the
I
show
did.
Right away, because he'll think that we're still working on the old Midnight Horror Show timetable of posting the shows 2 months late.
That's what I figured. Fact. I figured he wouldn't listen. I mean, I wouldn't listen if I missed the show, but I just didn't figure he would. And of course, he would the one time I do something stupid like that and play Double Draken. I think he should change his name to Double Draken. I think he should change his name.
And he's driving as well. I imagine him kind of half losing control of the car, spitting his coffee everywhere.
Oh, yeah. He's freaking out. I could see him freaking out. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to freak you out.
Straight fucking shot down one interstate, and you're like, someone please make me laugh.
Well.
Oh, shit. Oh, Duncan made me laugh. Oh, Danny played shit rap.
Come on. Come on. Don't sum me up as shit rap. I mean, I had to do something else on the show. I told a dick and fart joke at some point, I'm sure. Something? Nothing? God, all right. The rap guy. All right, welcome, everybody. It is the Midnight Horror Show. We're here live. It is October 12th, 2016, right? 2016? Yep, still. All right, and we're here live every Wednesday from 7 to 9 Eastern. Check us out. It's tmhsradio.com or TMHS Radio, all one word, at the TuneIn app. And join us over there. You got to be in the chat room. You got to be in the Facebook group. You got to go over somewhere, Twitter. I don't know. You got to be somewhere, though, because we need you, because we're doing Midnight Massacre 1983. We're starting that tonight with the listeners. We have a Duncan Defends coming up, which is going to be really fucking difficult. And in the second hour, Dark's discussion, he's going to do hotels. And not like a dark hotel. Like, you know, it's going to be haunted hotel talk, I think. He might be talking about dark type of hotels. I don't know. I don't know if he can tell any more stories.
A dark hotel is just like a hotel with shit up the side of the wall.
Fucking blow-up dolls like shoved into the dumpster.
Crispy bed sheets and shit like that.
Dude, I would not.
Dark's
I
hotel.
I wouldn't stay like three fucking hotels down from Dark's hotel. It's disgusting.
Yeah, black light like, in it, that's for sure.
Do you think in Dark's hotel, you just, you know, to save money, he is everyone in the hotel, and that includes the French maid, so he can dress in the French maid's outfit?
Oh, dude, if he... Oh, this is... We should turn this into a movie. This would be a little more disturbing than The Shining. I just think this is... It's making me...
Oh, dude, he's going to be at your house later on saying, "Hello, Danny. Come play with us forever." And ever.
The hotel you're dark. Right. You check in, but you don't check out.
He tries to check in. We just need to make sure we check out before he gets a chance
That's
to check
the
in.
Eagles wrote the Hotel California about. They just changed dark to California.
Hotel dark? That's why I hate that song so much.
Welcome to the hotel. No, I'm not going to finish it.
Yeah, you're right, though. Dark doesn't fit there. They had to change it to California. Makes total sense. Makes total sense. All right, so we got a lot of cool stuff to get into, but before we can get into any of that, we have to do Spill Your Guts.
Always check your candy.
All right, so tonight's question.
I'm so happy that's back.
I don't remember it being that gross. It's fucking nasty.
You can feel the sick.
The movie is really, really gross if you just listen to it and don't watch it. Like, I've gone to sleep to it before, and like when he's cutting the little kid's finger off to throw the dog, I mean, it sounds a lot worse than it looks, man. I'm telling you, you try to watch it while, you know, not watching it, listen to it. It's creepy, man. Ugh. It does sound really gross. All right, anyways, tonight's question is, this is kind of fucked up. All right, if you snapped and you went on a killing spree, and you killed all the other hosts, who's the one host you save for last, and why? And we're going to start
Who asked this question?
Doc's judging this right now, and if we say that we leave Doc to the end, none of us gets fired.
I know, so we've got to really, that's all I'm going to say, is really be careful with how you answer these questions. So we're skating on thin ice, so we're going to turn it over to the returner, the man who wasn't here, and we get to unveil his intro now. It is...
Get off my lawn.
Oh, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive.
us, the undead.
Speechless.
I still believe.
He's speechless. He couldn't say anything.
Yeah, I couldn't say nothing. That was
great.
Got you.
Got you right there in the groin, didn't it?
Oh, right
there. I was going to be really disappointed if I Still Believe wasn't in there.
You know, everything that makes undead undead would be in there, because that's just how Duncan rolls with those sounders, man.
And the fact that he threw Dead Alive in there, he knows me way too
well. That's what I'm saying. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. All right, so.
I do kick ass for the Lord.
Well,
he does, and that's why you should not fuck with him. I get the feeling that if undead was.
I get this question first.
Yeah.
You do.
No one would fucking be left if undead snapped.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried where this is.
Hosan listeners included.
So, the question is who I'd leave for last.
Yeah, and why you would leave them for last. For good or bad. It just, you know, whatever.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ball, but I'm leaving you last because I'm taking my time with your ass.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
Oh, Jesus.
He would have to buy a plane ticket to come and get me, Mark. Still leave you last.
Mark, that is rough. I kind of want to more know. I want to know more about this, but I don't really think we want to go any further. But that's awesome. So just so you could
that's
take your time.
Start jamming vinyls up his ass. Oh no! Oh. Right there. Gag him with VHS tape. I got things.
Holy shit! He's playing, dude. Did you know that? Did you submit this question? How the hell
no,
did you?
I've been thinking about it a lot lately.
I was about to say he rolls this answer off, and he has really given it thought. It's insane. The planning he's put into this. He's got the VHS, the vinyl worked in. It's like Duncan's sounder that he just created in like 3 seconds. He's just like, yeah, I'm going to use this and this and cut Mark's feet with, you know, comic books. I mean, he's ready to nail you. Action figures in his fucking ear holes. I mean, he's going to nail this motherfucker. Look, now, Mark,
well,
how would you feel if
I got to go? I guess I'll go surrounded by the things I love.
Or no, you wouldn't be surrounded by them, sir. They would
be
inserted.
In
yeah.
They'd be in you.
You'd be like a pincushion. Mark's Martians.
Eat that, motherfucker. Tell me the quality's still better. Eat it. Eat it, bitch.
I think Mark's a little shocked at how, now we know which way we have to go with this, so,
I'm not following this shit up.
Oh, you.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
All right, break it down for us, Fancy. I mean, what are you waiting
for? Who wrote this question? I demand their head on a fucking platter right now.
I cannot divulge such information. And you need to quit demanding their head on a platter. So just get to the goddamn question, Mark. Well, you're pushing
I guess I'd leave either Danny or Dark so I can push the live button so I can keep doing Fancy and Friends live.
Oh, that's a bullshit answer.
Saturday at the usual time, 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Mark could turn this question
into a plug. Yes, fuck you. Fuck you.
What a fucking motherfucker, dude. That is ridiculous.
Nice,
I know, it was really nicely played, Mark. We have to give you credit for that. All right, that was...
Saturday, here.
Yeah, okay, we're here as in on the... You want to tell them here?
Radio.com.
Okay, there you go. I was about to say, you're just saying here.
Everybody sync their VHS now.
That's what those nifty little timers were for, man. It's just always a blinking clock for me. I never really fucked with that shit. Set the V. I mean, come on. VCRs had like as many buttons as the Atari Jaguar controller did. There's like 70 across the front. I couldn't figure that dumb shit out. Play, rewind,
fast
forward.
You'll never use three.
Yeah, I know, really. That's all you ever use. You can't pause it. You pause that motherfucker and you come back and that tape is done. Don't pause it. You'll never get that tracking out. It's never going to fix. It's horrible. Fuck VHS, Mark. Sorry. I didn't need it. All right. So you're going to cop out and leave us. Okay. That's a crappy answer. It's a crappy answer. Crappy answer. All right. So, well, hold on. All right,
that
I'm going.
That is my favorite besides my own.
I knew you were going to love that one. I knew you were
going to love
it.
Meow, 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 meow.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. That stuff's rough. I'm leaving Mark for last because he copped out of the question, and I want to ask him why. And then once he answers, I'm going to kill him. I'm not going to make you suffer, Mark, but I want to know the. I want to know why. Why, you son of a bitch?
So well, I don't want to kill none of you. That's why.
Mark, you cannot take the Tinkerbell way out of this. What are you doing?
I'm going to take every way out I can.
Mark is trying,
ship, bitches.
Mark's trying to Care Bear stare us to death. What are you doing? You can't answer the question like that. Mark. Oh, my gosh. And unfortunately, I don't think there's anyone. I wanted to play more of these sounders, but nobody else is here. Where's
Stop
Smoke?
Ask. This question is an instigator because they're just trying to make us turn on each other.
You know, who is? Who's trying to make us turn on each other?
Whoever asked this question.
Yeah, tag me in. I've not done things yet.
Let's see here. Let's go over here. And I am, let's see here, Duncan. All right, well, just remember who's hitting play on the intro button when we're thinking about this.
Now imagine she's white.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Get in my belly!
Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
Oh, that's my new favorite. That's my new favorite. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fucking great. All right, so let's hear what Duncan's going to say.
Well, I'm going to turn it around slightly. Ah. Every host would be safe from me except Smock.
Oh, I like that. That's cool. You yep. That works.
Tear that motherfucker up. You just know for a fact that when you got to his house, I say house, when you got to his trailer, well, I say trailer, but when you got to his hut, you kicked down the door, it'd just be like that scene in fucking Pulp Fiction where that guy's just bent over and he's fucking that dude in the ass. That's what it's going to be like when you break it. And I would just, I'd samurai sword that motherfucker to death right down the middle of him. Fuck you, Bruce Willis style. And then I just walk out there, get my bike, Zed's dead, baby, and I'm on the road.
Oh, Smoke, I hope you're listening, you son of a bitch. I hope
yeah, why
listening.
Is he not here? What happened
I don't,
to
I don't know. Oh, I'm going to be here all of October. I'm going to be here all of October.
Yeah. Lies.
And then he sees, and then he sees the stuff for the game, and he's like, well, if you were here, you'd understand, but you're not here, says, you piece of shit.
Says he's online. Call that bitch up.
All right, I'll call him up. Oh, Amy found Dr. Dark's slippers. Go over to Facebook and check
like
him out.
Seafoam green or some shit.
I mean, are you surprised? That definitely looks like Dark's. Look at the little balls on the front, little fuzzy balls. Love he loves some fuzzy balls. That's all about some fuzzy.
Dark's been waxing.
Yeah, has he? Did he send us another picture? Jesus Christ! I hope to God not. We've told him 100 times we're gonna keep kicking him from the group if he does that. It's so gross when he does that. I don't. What is Smoke's real name? Why do I always forget it? There it is. Son of a bitch! You
now he's not online. How convenient. Yeah, oh, and he's online again. What are you doing, Smoke?
He can't answer us, Mark. I hope you know that. He can't answer us right now. We're on the show, and he's
yelling,
not.
Yelling at the computer for no reason.
Yeah, you're just...
answer me, damn it!
Yeah, he's not on. He's just being a bitch. You tell me when he's back on so we can get him in here so he can answer this question. He's wasting valuable time of this show, all right? And so is Dr. Dark. They're both wasting valuable time of this show. We don't have this time to waste, all right? So if they're not here, they're not answering the question. Fuck them both.
Oh.
All right, answer, we kill both of them, all right? And say, fuck it. We run the network.
New answer. I think it was them that I found in Smoke's house.
Yeah. That's...
I won't say who was pitching and who was catching. I think that's American terms for men having sex.
It is. It was created by Ren and Stimpy in about 1990, whatever it came out. I swear I remember there was an episode where they went on a date in like a spittoon. And they were eating like the loogies. And then they went home and talked about playing pitcher and catcher and like strapped a baseball glove on one of their asses. This was on Nickelodeon and shit. That's fucking weird. I don't want to talk about Ren and Stimpy anymore. It shows like Candle Cove. Did anybody watch Candle Cove real quick? I mean, holy shit.
No.
What the fuck, guys? What is going on with you all?
I forgot about it.
It really wasn't a lot going on, but it was kind of creepy. I don't know where it's going to go, but it was pretty cool. But goddamn sci-fi. What is up with the commercials? There's like a commercial every 2 minutes. They give you like 20 minutes of the show, 20 minutes of an hour show, like all in one big chunk. And you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then it's 2 minutes, commercial, 2 minutes, commercial, 2 minutes. I mean, it fucking ruins the whole show. And now I know why people illegally watch this shit. This is retarded. I can't handle these commercials, man. Horrible. Fuck it. But anyways, it was kind of creepy. The tooth guy wasn't as creepy as I thought it was going to be. It does make a really weird noise, but it really wasn't as creepy. Oh, is Smoke making up an excuse? I see you wrote some big bullshit.
What's he said? Oh, this could be quite funny.
Yeah.
He says, laptop I had wouldn't charge. Think online with Linux, but it probably still won't connect. Oh, he's not. We have a picture of him wearing a Batman t-shirt.
And holding two cans of Sparks.
What the fuck is Sparks?
I don't know. He's like some 1998 Spice Girl fan. What is he drinking on there?
Sparks.
Alcoholic energy drink.
I thought Sparks were a band.
Wait, he's wearing the Batman shirt.
They are probably that too.
I think Smoke is that guy that's running around as Batman fighting off the clowns. That's why he's got that Batman shirt on. That's his secret message to us, that he is the Batman. Cool, Smoke. Go do your thing.
His secret message is I'm wearing a bat symbol.
yeah, that's
subtlety, Smoke. I like it.
You know, the STDs kind of get to his brain a little bit. He can't be but so subtle. He can't think that well. I can't believe he's getting some stupid excuse that he couldn't charge his laptop. What are you?
Laptop like won't charge.
Yeah. It conveniently won't charge right when it's time to. It looks like Amy was drinking on this stuff too. Sparks and Four Loko. It's Four Loko.
Yeah, but when was Amy drinking it though? Back in college.
Yeah, back in college, and he's drinking it today, like October 12th, 2016, right now. That's weird. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It's not cool.
It's kind of weird. Smoke. Kind of weird.
Just saying, Smoke.
All right, fuck him. We don't have time for him. We don't have time for Dr. Dark. It's time that we finally get into what we've all really been waiting for. Do we have people over there in the chat room? Where's people? Are they in the Facebook group? They need to be somewhere.
There's people in the Facebook group. There's a couple people in the old chat. Not much, though.
You know what? The courtroom's got to fill up. This is bullshit. But we're going. It's Duncan Defense time.
We can stall for a little bit.
I'm going to stall your head, Mark. You see the time? It's 7:20. It's time for Duncan Defense! The good lawyer is 1-0 in the month of October. He's pushing for 2-0. Tonight's movie he will be defending here in the court, the good court of the Midnight Horror Show, is Candyman 3. We turn it over to Duncan.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Midnight Horror Show jury and the listeners out there in the court, it's great to be back. Now, we opened the vote for suggestions up to the listeners last week, and Russell C., Russell C., yeah, cheeky rapscallion. He came forward, I believe, with the only suggestion. Thanks for that, guys. Which was Candyman Day of the Dead, aka Candyman 3. Now, this is a movie I had not seen, but there was a lot of sniggers, a lot of, Duncan's going to have to defend that. It's such a bad movie. And everyone was saying that, and I hadn't seen it. And I, being the defense attorney that I am, I said, you know what? I'll take this case. And I took this case and I watched the movie tonight. And I'm just going to say, this movie is a hell of a lot easier to defend than last week's movie. So I don't know what everyone was thinking about. And Russell C., I'm just assuming you like me now. And that's why you gave me this movie. Because Candyman 3 is not the heaving pile of shit everyone seems to think it is. I don't know if it's because people haven't seen it for a while. Or maybe people were drinking what Smoke's been drinking back when the movie came out, which was 1999. maybe they're all high on Sparks, and you know, maybe that's what caused it. But yeah, Candyman Day of the Dead from 1999. Now, the synopsis on IMDb is pretty fantastic, because if you look at the original synopsis for Candyman, it's quite impressive, it's quite lengthy. If you look at Candyman 2, Farewell to the Flesh, there's a significant word count in there. When you get to the third movie, it just says, the Candyman is back, trying to convince his descendant, an artist, to join him. Full stop. So yeah, they condense it down a bit. And that, to be honest, is fair. That's what happens in the movie. Not a lot. Now, this director has got a couple of credits against his name. The director's name is Turi Meyer. And no, he's idea. mostly doing TV now, in fairness. But he did do, in fact, it's all TV, but he did do this as a movie, and he has like written projects that became horror movies, like Wrong Turn 2, which I really like Wrong Turn 2, because it's got Henry fucking Rollins in it, so fuck anyone that doesn't like it. Yeah, so this one is loosely based on the Candyman, which is, you know, Clive Barker book. Amazing movie. I think I said it was my second favorite horror movie of the 1990s, and I stick by that. It was second only to Cemetery Man, which is the best horror movie of the 1990s, unless you're undead, and we will not mess with undead tonight. It's clearly dead alive. I take back what I just said there. Undead is right. I am wrong. Undead is right. That's not to sway his votes later on. Now let's get into this, ladies and gentlemen, because I, once again, for those listening for the first time or listening live, the whole purpose of this segment of the show is simply that I will put forward a case as to defend this movie. And all my case has to do is make you either, one, watch the movie again, two, if you haven't seen it, watch it, or three, maybe reevaluate your position, which is possible. You may want to reevaluate your position at the end of this. Now, to do that, I will use five exhibits, which my colleague, Mr. Danny Charlton, will play on my signals as we go through this. So let's kick this off right at the very start. So I watched this tonight, and I will be honest and upfront about this one. There was parts of this movie I kind of dug. And the first thing I kind of dug about it was the third time we've reinvented the origin story slightly. The story's kind of the same, but the events of what actually happens to the Candyman, like in this one, he apparently enjoys having his hand chopped off and bees attacking him. But to hear this, we need to listen to exhibit number one, which is the third origin story. Mr. Trotson, please.
Who was Daniel Robitaille? And why did he become the Candyman? It all began when a Confederate Army colonel hired the young black artist to paint the portrait of his only daughter, Carolyn. They fell in love, and it was a love as forbidden as it was passionate. When they were discovered, the colonel gathered an angry mob and chased them down like an animal. They tied him to a tree where his body was ravaged by bees. And the mob chanted his name for the fifth and final time. Daniel Robitaille was dead. Stories of the Candyman spread throughout the black population of the South. They said the hate that had killed the young artist had created something evil. Hate generates hate. Evil breeds evil. This man couldn't lash out in life, but in death, that hate, that evil was strong enough to bring him back, to reclaim what was taken away. Do any of you dare call his name?
Well, did anyone dare call his name? I mean, that's the point. Now, what I liked about this kind of retelling of the story is that they did change details, kind of. I can't remember in the first Candyman, a movie I've seen quite a few times, them saying that the crowd chanting his name five times is what actually caused the curse. I don't think that happened. I think they've just made it up for the purpose of this movie, and I don't think they needed to do that. But it's 1999, so we're spoon-feeding horror to horror fans. We're like, yeah, this is a movie that comes out during the rebirth of the slasher movie. So in this movie, Candyman's a slasher. That's what he is. He's a slasher icon. They try and elevate him to that position. He floats in this movie, very much like the balloons in It, which I thought was quite weird, because before he walked, but in this movie, he floats. What I love about this movie is the amount of CGI bees. Now, we have talked about CGI bees before. Not the bees! We talked about it in the Wicker Man remake. And I will go on record to say that the CGI bees in Candyman 3 are better than the CGI bees in Wicker Man remake. And I don't know how that's possible, because this is a fraction of the budget. And this is 1999 computer graphics, which are not good. But the bees in this one are actually a killer. They use very little real bees. Most of it is CGI bees, are fake stuck-on bees. But what I loved about this is we got a lot of them, and there are so much bees in this movie. There's like there's a scene where there's like a tornado of bees. It's like something from the Mummy movie with Brendan Fraser, when that plague of locusts comes. Yeah, it's fucking amazing. I loved it so much that I had to take a clip of the bees and put in here, and that's my exhibit number two. I love this bee. I love the bees so much that this is not the bees again. But truth be told, I may have just used that as an excuse to play the Wicker Man clip again. But no, in all honesty, the bees in this movie, actually, I was doing research for this movie. I read like what most complaints were about the movie. And the first complaint was that, you know, they kind of rehashed the story of his origin, which I didn't mind at all. I have seen origin stories go wildly different to the one that they portray in this movie. It's pretty much the same thing. And the second thing was the use of CGI bees, which I think is such a minor complaint in this movie. It's like, what did they expect? Did they expect actors and actresses to sign waivers to allow thousands of bees to crawl over them? I mean, come on, let's be honest here. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Like I say, I genuinely don't think they're all that bad. What I loved about this movie, and this could be my favourite clip we're going to play in this show, and if this doesn't get me acquittals right across the board, I don't know if I want to do this segment again, I'll be honest. Having watched this again, I realised Tony Todd at some point stopped being the Candyman and started being the Undertaker from WWE. Like he really does in this movie. So much so that I put together exhibit number 3, which is Candyman, the WWE promo. Mr. Trioxin, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Caroline. You doubted me. And yet you called my name. Your past. Your present. Your future. Your blood. I came for you. Believe in me.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
I swear to God. Swear to God, Tony Todd is the Undertaker.
I think
he wears the long jacket.
Oh.
Think about it. He wears the fucking long jacket. You're right. He doesn't have long hair. He's not white, and he doesn't have the hat or Paul Bearer. But I can imagine.
I pictured it. I was picturing it.
You imagine it.
I can see it, dude.
Like, I'm standing beside one of those, like Paul Bearer wearing a beekeeping outfit. Just like a beekeeper.
That would be
it's
so
fucking
awesome.
Amazing. Tony Todd in this movie is the Undertaker. He's Mark Williams, the Undertaker. He is Taker. He's like fucking the streak is alive and it's in Candyman 3.
They snuck it in there.
Him, all the way through this movie, it's all like, I will return. He keeps saying, believe in me. And I believe that's the story of this movie. I think the more he says, believe in me, the more he's willing the audience to believe in the movie. I think that's what it is. And I started to believe in this movie. I was like, you got fucking tombstone some bitch in this movie. Chokeslam some fucker through a table, pick up a put the hook down, pick up a chair, and steel chair this bitch. Hell in the cell, motherfucker. I got none of that in this movie. But I would have loved it.
It would have been awesome.
So, yeah, I fucking love that. Honestly, it's like the greatest thing that's ever happened. Right, now, what I didn't... like, you see, about halfway through this movie, the dawning realisation struck me that I recognised one of the main characters. And I recognised him because of his style of acting, not of his face. I did not know that... and I can't pronounce his name. It's Tsu Garcia. I think it is. His character in this one is David De La Paz. Is in this movie. And I'm like, I know your... You're Rod. Wait one second. You're Rod. You're Rod from A Nightmare on Elm Street. That's who you are. And
I checked on IMDb.
And he's Rod from A Nightmare on Elm Street. And I just want to say that some people don't like Rod's acting in A Nightmare on Elm Street. They think that, Tina!
Fuck those people. Rod's amazing.
They don't think he's great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he has went to the prestigious acting classes of New York to be in this movie. His acting is elevated to a completely different level. And as a result, Exhibit 4 will show you a before and after of Rod. This is Rod's revenge.
Tina! Tina! tell the cops?
They've been playing good cop, bad cop on my ass all afternoon. Turn my shit inside out. Right, an actor, not a killer. I've known Miguel for years. Miguel and I went to the same school since we were little. I loved Miguel. I wouldn't kill him. I wouldn't kill anybody.
So, acting against typecast, Rod in this movie, as we're going to call him, is accused of killing someone, butchering someone that he knows and loves dearly, and the cops are after him, which is not like Rod in Nightmare on Elm Street at all. It's not as if.
They have a leather jacket.
He does kind of wear a leather jacket. It's not as if like 15 years later, like, I'm in exactly the same role again. That never happened in this movie. Rod is back in this movie, and he's hamming things up. And I'll be honest with you, it's just great seeing him in a movie, and it kind of made me like it even more. I was just like, dude, you got work after Nightmare on Elm Street. That's how many actors and actresses starred in those movies and got no fucking work after it. This dude's had work. He was in Collateral. Alongside fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger, that horrible, horrible movie that he did just before he became the Governator. He was in that movie, so he did stuff. He did this movie as well, and he's actually
had to delay that one because of 9/11.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He did have to. Some would say that's maybe a good thing. bad omen. Because the movie bombed. Pun not intended. Oh dear. He's in this movie. I kind of got warm and fuzzy to see him. I found myself liking this movie even more than I did before. And he's one of the main characters, which is really fucking cool. Now, my last clip, and then I will go into my closing argument. My last clip is that we see a lot of stuff on Facebook. We see a lot of stuff on Facebook with the police beating down the man. Racial discrimination, a lot of race hate just now. We have Black Lives Matter. We have, you know, fucking people campaigning for the gorilla that got shot. We have a lot of this stuff happening. And some people are acting as if this is a new thing. This is not a new thing. Racism has been around as long as people know that different people are different. And it has always existed. They try and tackle it in this movie. But what I like about this movie is they almost kind of poke fun at racism. They have a cop, who we're about to hear, who is the racist cop that sounds like the kind of Weasley dog in Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Remember him?
Yes.
Yeah. Gonna send you to the cleaners. Kind of sounds like him.
That was really good.
Just a wee bit. And he is racist, kind of. He's not. He hasn't really kind of worked out how to be a racist.
He's not
cop.
Mega racist.
No, he's just not very good at it. He's really, really, really shit at it. And to demonstrate this, I condensed all of his racist outbursts into my final exhibit, which I believe I dubbed "Not Quite Racist Cop." Danny, if you wouldn't mind, please.
It's like you're having another opening night tonight. Everything up to code. Got all your licenses in place?
All the paperwork's in back, but I'm sure you guys will find some way to bust my balls. You always do.
Yeah, your kind's always up to something.
That's one.
Like you said, Jamal, why don't you go shoot some hoops?
That's two.
What the hell did you say to me? What are you doing, Bato?
Hey, man, get off me!
Let him go!
You like hanging out with his Latin lover because he's dangerous? Know what you're getting into, little girl. You don't know these people. I've been a cop 14 years, I know.
Hey, man.
I'm watching you, Vato.
Five.
You make me sick.
The fuck are you looking at?
Look at you. You disgust me. Make it nice to the wet back.
After
you cut him up.
That's literally it. Like, he tells a black man to go and shoot some hoops. Edgy racism in this movie. Fucking scary. Call the police. This is terrible. This is like fucking Boys to the Hood to the max. What the fuck? He calls a Hispanic man Vato, which I'm fairly sure I don't think they find. I may be wrong. We don't have many over here. I don't know if that's considered racist. He
said wetback though. Wetback's pretty bad. That's pretty
yeah.
Bad.
Wetback is a bad one. In fairness, and but that's at his changing point. At the end of this movie, he is framed as a Candyman killer, and he is trying to gut the woman. So
Well, that makes sense.
But that's about as far as the racism goes. And the last 2 minutes are like, yeah, maybe we can put in something a wee bit racist. We've been building up to it with all the other stuff we've said in this movie. And people are like, what other stuff? And he's like, remember when he told the black man to go and shoot hoops? He's like, yeah, he called him Jamal. And he's like, well, that's the guy's name. And oh, right, maybe that's the racist part. Maybe the racist part of this movie is the guy that wrote it, wrote the black man's name is Jamal. Maybe that's what it is. Couldn't be Dave or Steve. It had to be Jamal to sell it. Maybe that's where the racism is. I'm looking at you, writer of this movie. Right, in summation to this, Candyman 3 is actually not a fucking terrible movie. It's nowhere near as good as the first movie at all. The first movie is a masterpiece of horror cinema. Tone has a gothic tone that runs through it. It's got fucking great acting. Tony Todd is bitching in it because he hardly says a fucking word. And when he does say it, he doesn't sound like The Undertaker like he does in this movie. The second movie wasn't actually all that great. I'm not a big fan of Farewell to the Flesh. I would say it's probably better than this one, so I know why it's been chosen. But of all the movies I've defended on Duncan Defends, this is nowhere near the worst of them. This movie has actually really good practical effects, minus the CGI bees. Some pretty good kills, yes. Some of them happen off-screen. They portray metal listeners and goths in a particularly bad light, like every fucking horror movie in 1999 did. It's like, yeah, of course they're all Satanists and they worship the Candyman. Yeah, that makes sense. Look at the ridiculous piercings that don't make sense. Yeah, so the movie definitely plays into that. But the story's kind of cool. It brings back a relative. Candyman's trying to get through her, kind of, a wee bit, by getting her to believe in him, which she doesn't want to do, so she has this crisis of faith throughout it. The acting's pretty ropey, yes, I will give you that. But not ropey in a way which puts me off a movie 3 into a series. There are very few horror movies that, you know, the acting gets better as the franchise comes on. It's a weird choice to create a franchise out of. Candyman should have always just been one and done. But as thug films go, I don't necessarily think this would have been a franchise killer. I think if it had done a bit better business, I could have seen a fourth or a fifth one. It certainly carries the story on and not in a way which feels bad. I'm actually at a loss as to why this one was picked. I genuinely think you could sit down and watch this movie and have it on in the background and it's completely inoffensive. Like, I don't think it's, and I'm not saying that because I'm trying to win this week. I genuinely don't think this movie is near as bad as everyone said it was at all. And I went in expecting a heaping pile of shit. And it's not. Tony Todd's doing what Tony Todd does as a Candyman. He's not cracking one-liners like fucking Freddy does by the third movie in that franchise. He's not as goofy as Jason is by the eighth movie in the previous week that we talked about with Jason Takes Manhattan. He's still quite a scary presence and the character mythology is still pretty cool. The soundtrack is awful, I'll give you that. And the whole relating it to the Mexican Day of the Dead thing is a bit ropey as well. But in all honesty, I actually don't think this is a bad movie. It's not a great movie. And I think, on the basis of what I've shown, purely because Tony Todd sounds like The Undertaker. That clip, let's play it again, Dan. Play that clip.
Exhibit
C, you gotta play it again. It's fucking amazing.
Caroline. You doubted me. And yet you called my name. Your past. Your present, your future, your blood. I came for you. Believe in me.
Fuck fucking greatest thing ever. It's the fucking greatest thing ever. He is the fucking Undertaker.
He's got and with it that, really does.
With that, the defense rests.
Boom. All right. Well, now you need to let us know, Twitter, Facebook group, chat room, let us know somehow, guilty or innocent. Will Duncan go 2-0 or will he go 1-1? All right. We need some votes coming in. But first, someone's blasted in the doors here at the courtroom and they're ready to throw in their vote immediately.
Let the motherfucker try me, try me. The nefarious Dr. Dark.
Get your hand off my penis!
I usually just grab the pussy these days.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, I knew. Well, at least it's out of the way early because I knew he was going to do it as many times as he could. So that's good.
Just grab him right by the pussy. All right,
your potential future president says that, so it's okay. You can say it.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Hey, well, guess what? My other future potential president's going to have to sit behind the desk where her husband got his dick sucked and stuck a cigar in some woman's twat. So every fucking day she's going to have to sit there.
Oh, see, can you see?
America.
I'm sitting down. Don't sing that song right now. I'm not getting up either. So I got to say not guilty just because of all the racial tension in this movie that you've put together there. I mean, that sold me in and of itself.
Jesus.
I didn't, Lord. In fairness, I didn't even hear the first couple pieces of evidence. I just walked in the door not too long ago, but.
He just walks, he waits to the very end of court and opens the door. He walks in and goes, not guilty, and just sets down. He's just it's just Dr. Dark, man. It's just Dr. Dark.
One vote for not guilty.
All right. Mark, you're the bean counter. Don't forget.
Yep. Count beans.
Count my beans.
Count my beans. Count my beans.
Oh, right. Amy says innocent.
Oh, what? Amy says, we've made this too easy. Guilty. Oh, look, and Ricky Morgan already said innocent. He said it's better than Friday the 13th, part 8, and it's not racist enough for me.
So he says innocent. He says next.
What?
Next one may not be too easy, Duncan.
Who said that?
Well,
who said
and,
that?
And
Russell C.
Russell C. In fairness, Russell C, this is a curveball, I think. See, when you suggested this, and I'll just put this out as future suggestions. There are people like obviously voting. I don't think they've even seen the movie before. I didn't even know it existed. That if we go for another suggestion, let's go a bit more mainstream. Mainstream bad, there's plenty out there, and I know Russell C knows it.
Russell C, you know what would be really effed up? If someone suggested, I don't know, say a loophole film. Maybe like the Puppet Master movie that's not really a movie because all it really does is pull clips from all the other Puppet Master movies. So how can you really justify that being a goddamn movie? Because even the clips you're going to bring up, we could have just watched those in the movies they're pulled from.
Oh, we have a guilty, the witch, who's listening to us. I just want to do a special shout out to the witch because he is actually listening all the way over in Australia.
Wow.
Damn.
Yep.
Where they make good movies.
Yeah, where they really do make good movies. Yeah.
We are a big fan of Aussie exploitation horror.
And they're super
hardcore. That's Aussie exploitation. Everything will kill you. Like rock and roll, Sharon!
And they've got Parkway Drive.
They do have Parkway Drive over there. Yep. And they have 10-foot ninja.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they've got...
Do like about 10-foot ninja. And circles, I like about
and
circles.
But they also have like that 5 Seconds to Summer.
What's 5 Seconds to Summer?
Something my daughter listens to.
Wait, did you have to take him to a concert of that?
I did. My wife did.
Okay, I was gonna say. Oh,
once again, if Undead had been there, no fucker would still be alive. It would
just except for Mark.
I think the witch is in the party tonight. The witch is in for the game. Which
is he is here. Yeah. But he says guilty. Apparently I could not persuade him. The Undertaker almost persuaded him.
I see that. He almost, but no. Just almost. All right, so
one vote guilty, four votes innocent.
I'd like to call guilty just to kind of like try to balance this thing out to make it competitive, but I really can't because I really kind of want to watch this now. And the worst thing is before he did this, I watched the trailer and I was like, I hate this thing and this blonde chick is driving me nuts. But by the end of it, I was like, yeah, I think I'll watch that movie. I think I'm going to watch it anyways. So yeah, it's not fair. What the heck, man? I mean, come
not
on.
As bad as you think it is, honestly.
Someone's got to give something really bad. Someone take that Puppet Master idea and run with it. Go in a good direction
No, it has to be part of the franchise. It can't be one of these offshore fringe fucking.
No, it is. It's one of the. It is a numbered film. It is a numbered film.
It would be like suggesting like something like Revenge of Boogeyman, which is basically 40 minutes of the original movie with like some shit tagged on the end.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a funny movie.
Give me
too.
A chance.
I was going to say Return to Sleepaway Camp, but that I kind of thought that was funny. So
I like that movie.
I know. I do
course.
Too. I can't really say that.
Jacob Kane has come in and said, not guilty, but not innocent. I don't know what that means.
That means he, well, if Jacob says it, then it is.
It's not horrible, but utterly forgettable. I had seen it and forgot about it completely. Well, now you can watch it again, Jacob. You're welcome.
Well, Duncan, you've convinced me now to petition Arrow to put out a $30 steelbook Blu-ray of it.
I'll buy it as well. I'll so fucking buy it. They've got me sussed. I bought it on Blu-ray and steelbook today. One of 1,000 copies being pressed, and I've heard that I read before I even bought the transfer shit. But because it was someone said limited edition, I was like, "Oh, gotta have it."
Which one is the
limited
it
edition boner?
The it that you posted, is that the one?
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I've heard the transfer's not all that great either.
Yeah, but I heard that they added the orgy into the movie.
You are a liar. You're just saying that because Dr. Dark's beside you.
And they added the
jack
weird...
off at the
Steven.
Oh, yeah. Steven A. Lara has said guilty death by firing squad.
Whoa.
Damn.
He is the scene. That's a hard case there to sell to him. All right. So we see that's that kind of attitude needs to be through. I want to see Duncan really because I know his intro's got the Matthew McConaughey part. And when I say that, everyone knows exactly what part I'm talking about. I mean, it's in his intro. Let's make him do it. Let's make him make us shut our eyes and see a movie black and white. Not black and white. Not a black. You know what I fucking mean.
It don't matter if you're black
or
white.
Exactly. Like Michael Jackson says.
I did with this movie. I made you think that the Candyman was the Undertaker.
Well, what I saw is, and the funny thing was I didn't see like the actual.
He is the Undertaker from Final Destination.
Yes.
He is. Fucking Dr. Dark dropping fucking facts. Harder than your face. Deal with it. Banger.
Who was he in the third one, Dark?
I don't know.
He was not. He was just the voice at the roller coaster. That's it. Sorry, it was trick question, man. I'm just trying to trick you. All right, so
a Final Destination one be in there for a Duncan defense?
I don't know. I
love
like,
all of those
them,
movies.
But the first one. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love all of them, but I love the beginnings to every single one of those films. Yes. I'll watch them just for the beginning. After that, I'm like, okay, I don't need to watch
them. That second one has made it sure that I will never drive behind one of those motors.
It's one of the scariest parts. It's one of the scariest parts in any movie ever because it looks so fucking real. You can imagine that shit really playing out just like that.
Especially around here. Yeah.
I wonder what someone think of something really, really good.
Yeah, there's plenty of time. We've still got another hour, and we've got plenty of other segments to go. So let's go around the other hosts. I think Mark's the only one left to cast a vote. But I think even at this stage, I can't lose. So
yeah, I haven't seen this, but hearing you talk, I'm kind of with Danny. Hearing you talk about this makes me kind of want to watch it. So I'm going to go with Innocent.
Oh, fucking hell.
It's like 7-2 now.
Duncan just walked in here and Phoenix Wright ace attorneyed it and just fucking stormed.
Yeah,
what did I say,
Danny, let's be honest here. What did I say to you when I sent the clips
over? He told me. He told me, like, I had just watched this trailer and he goes, look, this is in the bag. And I had just finished the trailer, and I think I wrote to him a big, ha 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 ha, because I'm like, I saw this fucking trailer. I saw the trailer, and I'm like, this is not in any fucking bag at all. But, yeah, you made it really easy.
Wickety-whack into my sack.
Well, we haven't had that for the first 40 minutes.
I just spat my water out there, Doc, you son of a bitch.
He spit his water, too. He spit his, too.
And I look like I pissed myself. Oh, my God.
Oh, it looked like he sneezed on himself. It's really gross. sick over here. Smells like a YMCA pool in this room suddenly. Yuck.
Hey, I had a long day at work.
Doc's here just in time for the massacre.
Oh, he is here for the massacre. It is. It's time. So, all right. This is the thing. We're going to do a game, and we've got a bunch of people, right? I need bean counters available. Mark, are you a good bean counter? Yep. You're ready to go. All right. So, first, I got to get this thing out here. Let me get this ready
to God.
Be. What? What? It's not like when you say it, sir. It's not going to be anything like what you say, right? When I say I'm going to pull this out, it's just a picture. I'm going to the group. It has nothing to do with whatever you're thinking. All right, boom. Here's the layout of the place that we're about to get into. So this is Midnight Massacre, 1983. So let's do a little bit of background first, right? Let's get into it.
This is amazing.
Let's do a little bit of background about what's going on here. All right. So back in 1983. On October 12th. That was a Tuesday for those that weren't alive in 1983, right? And the wonderful town of Hansford, Virginia, the local playboy, the infamous playboy of the area, Smokey Johnson Sr., threw a hell of a shindig down on his farm. It was 80s to the fucking max, man. It was blowing out. People are dancing. They're doing cocaine. They're having a great time, all right? It was wonderful.
Shit, ain't nobody around here got no money for cocaine.
Well, they did in 1983, sir. But when they woke up on Wednesday morning, October 13th, no one woke up there. It was the cops that came because everybody was dead in Smokey Johnson Sr.'s house. All 37 fucking people spread out across the entire two floors of this place, slaughtered. Nothing was left behind but the dead bodies. There was no sign of Smokey Johnson Sr. And there was a weed eater and a Psy-Kill mask, who was a character in the most infamous show of 1983, which was the GoBots. He was one of the GoBots, and that was the only thing that was left behind. But nobody, no killer was ever found, and this got passed down to Smokey Johnson Sr.'s sister. And after her mysterious passing last October, the will transferred over to Smokey Johnson Jr., which we all know as Smoke. Here. And now he's going to throw a big bash for Halloween. And we got a big guest list going. We got a bunch of listeners invited to this place. And we've got the layout laid out right there in the Facebook group. So you need to go over to the Facebook group if you're here. If you're not, your character is a stagnant mover. And it's not going to be good. So go over to Facebook.
Incidentally, a big bash is what Smoke calls a sex session with a heavy set woman.
He's got plenty.
He told me.
He's got plenty of areas to get it on. All right, so this is laid out the old school 80s way and the old school Midnight Horror Show way. Everything is done with the roll of a dice because that's how we solved everything back in the day. You'll see the layout. You see his lavish bedroom. It's a dice roll of one. You see the bathroom. He's got an arcade. And you're probably wondering, where the fuck is the kitchen? Where's the rest of the stuff? That's on the second floor of the house. All right, we're not partying in the second floor. Smoke doesn't let us up there. And there's only six freaking sides of a dice. So he's only got six rooms in this downstairs area.
It's like Graceland. Nobody goes upstairs.
And clearly, the Brown pays really well because Smoke's got like an arcade in here. He's got a home theater. The dance floor, which is where everyone will say stagnant. That's not here to move their character. And the Smoker's Lounge, which is where Smoke will... never mind. I was going to get into dark, but I can't. Let's just leave that alone. All right, so if you are here, all right, we need you to be posting.
If I go in there, I'm definitely holding my breath.
All right, everyone go underneath the picture here, and you got to post where your character is. If not, the ones on the guest list are going to stay right in the dance floor, all right? So we're going to start first with dark. Where are you putting yourself, buddy?
I'm going into the arcade.
I was pretty sure you were going to say bedroom, but
why the fuck would I go in his bedroom?
And then no one else is going to go into there is going to be the thing here. All right, so the witch is over in the arcade. The witch is with you. All right, let's see here.
Bonzer.
Amy's doing the robot. So we're guessing dance floor. Dance floor? That's what I'm guessing. That's what I'm taking it as.
Yeah, it's fancy.
And Tav, well, you know where you. Yes, we know where you'll be. The arcade. Okay, Tav is in the arcade. Tabitha is also in the arcade.
Getting crowded up in this bitch.
I'm guessing Stephen A. Lara, Pac-Man for life, he is also in the arcade, right?
That could be Adam Pac-Man Jones.
What? Yeah, it could be. I could be wrong. All right, let's see here. Wait. Hold on.
He's a football player. There's been a change. Non-sporting types.
There's been a change. Girl Graves has now left to go to the bathroom. She has left that area real quickly as we're moving on through. And hold on, someone's in the smoker's lounge. Andy G, the King of Horror. I'll be hitting on the Friday the 13th, part 4, Twins in the smoker's lounge. All right, so Andy G is over in the smoker's lounge.
Yeah, I was about to say, Tabitha can't get into the bathroom. I'm in the bathroom because all those damn enchiladas.
All right, who's ever in the theater? Someone's in the theater. Russell's in the theater.
I'm always in the home theater.
And Claudia's in the theater. All right, so Undead, you already know you're going to be over in the theater, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm straightening out my Blu-ray collection.
All right, so I guess that's most people that have posted that are around here, I'm guessing, right? All right, so Duncan, where are you?
I'm in the bathroom. Oh, those damnation ladders.
All right, he's...
Sorry.
Ooh, baby.
I mean, one of you can use the tub, I guess.
Okay, so there's two over there in the bathroom. Now I've got to ask. I got to ask Mark. Mark, where are you gonna be, buddy?
Duncan. I gotta take a shit too. I'm going to the sink.
We knew you weren't gonna leave them alone in there together.
Oh no!
Can we at least crack a window?
It's happening. I don't give a fuck. It's happening.
Oh, this is a horrible, horrible setup going on over here.
I'm just looking at that picture of that bathroom, and I don't know if that sink is gonna be enough.
All right, Alicia's over on the dance floor. All right, we've got Dark is in the closet. Russell sees that.
That's awesome. Not funny.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's great. All right. All right. Who else is left?
How do you know? Are you in here too? Turn that fucking light on so I can see.
I know. All right. Who else is left?
Don't grab my pussy.
Oh, Jesus. All right, Dark. Where are you at?
Do I have to move?
You're in the arcade. All right. So Smoke, since it is Smoke's party, now that he sees it is his party. We're gonna put Smoke. Where would Smoke be? He's gonna be in his bedroom, of course. That's where Smoke is, in the bedroom. And I am going to go to. I'm going to the smoker's lounge. All right. Ooh. I'm gonna be right in here. And is that everyone? If we're closing it off. Everyone else will be in the dance floor. You'll be in the stagnant position. And then we might get creative with how we change this up next week. And so, if you survive, if you are the survivor girl or guy. We're going to find something to do. We're going to send you something, or we'll do an entire show in your honor. You can pick every last thing that we do on the show and make everyone do whatever we don't care. We'll do something. We promise.
Fucking hell. Tommy, really?
Okay. Yep. Yeah, of course, dude. Of course. I mean, come on. Right? We're going to.
All can't right, be any worse than that segment we did where we pretend to suck Satan's cock.
Yeah, exactly. That was not. Yeah. I see what
you're saying. Let's go up. Yeah. I'm good to go. Good to go.
All right. So, okay. What? There is Lisa. Lisa is in the smoker's lounge. All right. Is that everyone? Everyone. All right. Where's the die? I'm going to pull out the blood red die and roll this bitch and see who survives to next week in the next hour of the party.
A blood red die? Is that like one of those different position things?
No, it's a die that I rolled through period blood before I decided to roll it. So it is a blood red die. Here we go. Oh, it's a one. Wait a minute.
The bedroom?
And so nobody
loses this weekend.
Smoke is dead. Smoke is dead. Yes. It's his party.
Smoke was in the bedroom.
Yeah. All right. Wow. All right. Well, you know what? Yeah, no. Everyone's alive. Smoke is the only one dead because no one went to the bathroom.
Fuck you, Smoke.
All right, yeah, that's it for
him. I'm so happy right now. I'm actually the happy. Not only did I win Duncan Defense, but Smoke's dead.
Yeah, Smoke is dead.
Smoke's the only one that loses.
Speaking of which, did anyone see Scream Queens this week?
I have not seen it.
Okay,
is it amazing? Please tell me, because the first two episodes are about the best thing that's ever happened.
Well, that was a hint, what I just said.
Oh, right.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Awesome. All right. So everyone lives. Everyone lives. Welcome, Alicia, to the group. Just in time to pick your room, too. Now, you know, not unless anyone was going to go.
Yeah, don't pick one. Don't pick the best.
Yes, Andy G, you are totally radically 1983 alive, even though it's not really.
Yay! Everyone's alive.
We're all alive. We can celebrate. I mean, let's celebrate. What's a good celebrate song, Dr. Dark? It doesn't matter because it's
celebrate good times. Come on.
All right. Undead really did not like the Drake last week. So we dug back through the Hall of Famers and we pulled up two lyrically appetizing treats We pulled back some Childish Gambino and Futuristic. So we will play this, and we will be back with Dark Discussions with Hotel Talk. Oh, that's not. Well, is it like that, Dark? We were all wondering earlier. Is it like that kind of hotel or haunted hotel?
It's a hotel.
That's what we thought. That's kind of what we thought was going with this. All right. We will be right back after this.
Yeah, I'm the most underrated. Everybody say they spitting fire like a dragon, nigga. Watch me come and slay. Coming from the basement. Double XL, man, I want the cover. There's no way that I'm not in the conversation. I don't have no patience unless it's basis for playing operation. I'm castrating anybody that's hating. I ain't trying to be famous. I'm just trying to make payments from what I'm making. I'm frustrated, about to go Super Saiyan. And I'm causing mayhem when I rap. I got a coffin in the back. And if you talking in the coffin's where you at, I'm sick. I be coughing on the track. I'm exhausted from the rap. I'm trying to kick it with the broadest on the map. Shit, make her squirt like the oldest and a dolphin on his back. I gotta be cautious in the trap. And I've been to Boston, been to Austin, been to Compton, and been back where I'm at. It sounded like when I snap back in the backpack. Jean vest with a fat patch. WTF gang hashtag. I guess I smoke nigga past that. Taking shots, truck nigga at flag. Cash tags, no cash tags. Never paying to smash that. If the ass fat, then I treat it like a cop. I be all in it. Might take her on a trip, but before I drop it off, I gotta wax that. Finders is keepers. I'm all in they speakers. The word getting out. That boy Futuristic been spitting like he chewed tobacco all up in his mouth. I don't need a deal, got a whip and a chain, and no, I'm not a slave in the South. I got a crib in LA, and the crib in AZ. Either way, I be putting shit down. I'm the motherfucking great. I feel like Muhammad Ali. Down goes Frazier. I'm the motherfucking great. I feel like Jordan in his prime. I feel like Magic Johnson, 1980 Lakers. I'm the motherfucking great. Rap game Tony Hawk. Hopping on the road like a skater. I'm the motherfucking great. Used to be a legend in the making. Now I'm feeling like the greatest. I've been snapping like a turtle. Dressed like a Merkel, they concerned about me going too commercial. Killing shows without rehearsal. If I'm before you watching dispersal, they committed to my lyrics, that's a verbal. Copying everything that I do, but you paternal. Pissing on them like a urinal. I've been popping like a kernel. I cut everyone out the circle. The only one that's sitting like a gerbil. You spoil niggas is looking kind of kernel. Sheesh. Crafted a style, these young rappers are jocking it. Made a brand, everything I wear, they be rocking it. Only difference is I ain't copping it. I ain't watching it, I'm rocking it. Then throw it in the mosh pit and watch it get crazy. They be boxing and trying to knock them, acknowledge it. These rappers are garbage, they all lacking in confidence. Bitch of a compliments, futuristic, predicted dominance. Since I was six and I was still out spitting. The college kids, fuck boy, you a bitch, nigga. Leave your face Will Smith off a hitch, nigga. Couldn't resist the writing this, but when you saw all of my hits, you threw a fit, ain't even put it out. That don't make sense, nigga. I make dollars, you make sense, nigga. Get ate like chips and fish sticks, your bitch. That's Kendrick, hit your bitch like Chris did. Coming at my neck, you gon' get removed like a fish, nigga. Yeah, I don't got time for no bullshit. I'm working and doing my thing. If a nigga got beef and decide he should speak, then I finish his ass like Luke Kane. There really ain't shit you could say when you ain't getting paid in your lane. I am a creative player. Why? I put myself in the game. I'm the motherfucking great. I feel like Muhammad Ali. Down goes Frazier. I'm the motherfucking great. I feel like Jordan in his prime. I feel like Magic Johnson, 1980 Lakers. I'm the motherfucking great. Rap game Tony Hawk. Hopping on the road like a skater. I'm the motherfucking great. Used to be a legend in the making. Now I'm feeling like the greatest. I've been working hard. Long days and cold nights. I've been traveling. I've been up on them flights. I've been writing flows. Dedicated my life. Lost that love I had, now I'm feeling alright. When my grandma passed, I was up on the stage. I said goodbye, then I lost my way. Been through it all just to get me here and I'm staying. I was a legend in the making, now I'm feeling like the greatest. Now I'm feeling like the greatest. Now I'm feeling like the greatest.
Okay, it's time. This can't be no homegirl dropping like the NASDAQ. Move white girls like this coat up my ass crack. Move black girls, cause man, fuck it, I'll do either. I love pussy, I love bitches, dude, I should be running Peter in Adidas with some short shorts, B-O-O all over me. My green is where it's supposed to be, your green is in my grocery. This Asian dude, I stole his girl, and now he got that Koji beef. My dick is like an accent mark, it's all about the overeat. Hot like a parked car, I sound weird like nigga with a hard R. Fly like the logo on my cousin's 440. Eating Oreos like these white girls that blow me. Vodka for my ladies, whiskey for a grown man. Hanging in the islands looking for Earl like Toe Jam. I made the beat retarded, so I'm calling it a slow jam. Butcher and I know it, man. Kill Beat, go ham.
shit did not faze me. Tell me how I suck again, my memory is hazy. You're my favorite rapper now, yeah, dude, I better be. Or you can fucking kiss my ass, human centipede. You wanna see my girl? I ain't that dumb. You wanna see my girl? Check Maxim. Man, why does every black actor gotta rap some? I don't know, all I know is I'm the best one. It's a bonfire, turn the lights out. I'm burning everything you motherfuckers talk about. It's a bonfire, turn the lights out. I'm burning everything you motherfuckers talk about. You know these rapper dudes talk shit, start killing. Fuck that, got goons like an arch villain. I'm from the south, ain't got no accent, don't know why. So this rapper's child's play, I do my name like Prince's guy. Yeah, they say they want the realness, rapped about my real life. Told me I should just quit. First of all, you talk white. Second off, you talk like you haven't given up yet. Rap stepfather, yeah, you hate me, but you will respect. I put in work, ass Ludwig. Put my soul on the track like Shoes did. Played this for my cousin, now he can't even think straight. Black and white music, now nigga, that's a mixtape. Shout out to my blurs, they represent the realness. Shout out to Gambino girls, my dick is in the building. I know you hate me cause your little cousin play me out. I like black girls who nerdy, but when they dance they be saying ah. I'm sorry Jordan, follow me. Chillin' with a Filipina at your local Jollibee. Yeah, I'm in her ass like side of me. So if you see my hand under the table, don't bother me. I don't talk soft, that's that other guy. I'm screaming what the fuck is up like I ain't see the sky. The shit I'm doing this year, insanity. Made the beat that murdered it, Casey Anthony. These rappers won't know what to do, cause all I did was act mean like a Looney Tune. And I'll give you all of me until there's nothing left. I swear this summer will be summer camp. Bitch.
Bitch! Welcome back, everybody. It is the second hour, and it's time to get serious for Dark's
discussion. Let's get serious.
Let's get serious for a minute, yo.
All right, and we turn it over to Dr. Dark.
You can turn it over to me, but you're going to have to get that up on the screen so I can read it, please, because this would be the one night that
Grab his notes.
This would be the one night that I walk away and do not bring the printout with me. So, yeah. That's awesome.
Okay.
All right. Now, we're going to venture into the land of haunted hotels. Everyone enjoys having the chance to get away from it all for a little while. A change in scenery can change a person's entire demeanor and outlook. For this reason, we usually look forward to the opportunity to check out of our real life for a time by checking into a hotel. But sometimes those hotel stays can literally turn into a living hell, depending on the room that is assigned. Hotels have repeatedly been used as anonymous locations for criminal activities, rapes, and murders. The construction of hotels occasionally results in industrial accidents that maim and kill laborers. And the operation of boutique hotels often represents the fulfillment of an entrepreneur's dream. Providing years of customer service to guests has led the hotel to become a second home to some hotel employees. Each of these is a reason why hotels may frequently play host to residual energy and intelligent spirit haunting activities. If you are the daring type and wish to seek out a haunted hotel to add a bit of extra excitement to your travels, here are just a few that you may wish to seek out. We will discuss how paranormal situations involving hotels has played out in the horror genre shortly, but it is nearly impossible to engage in this discussion without Stephen King's The Shining coming up. It is fairly well known that Stephen King's real-life stay at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, provided the inspiration for The Shining's setting at the Overlook Hotel, and some of the stories that have come out of the Stanley are just as nightmare-inducing as those that originated at the Overlook in King's novel and its later film adaptations. Prior to building the hotel that bears his name, Freeland Stanley and his twin brother Francis were pioneers in the automobile industry, having created the vehicles known as Stanley Steamers, which were so named because they were powered by steam. The Stanleys were also pioneers of the dry plate technique of photo development and the use of reinforced concrete in building construction. Amidst all of this, Freeland Stanley contracted tuberculosis in 1881. When the disease made a life-threatening resurgence in 1903, Stanley and his wife, Laura, moved to Denver, Colorado, as the fresh air of the Rocky Mountains was thought to be beneficial in treating tuberculosis. The Stanleys spent the next several summers in Estes Park, and with his health improved, Stanley began construction on the hotel in 1907. The Stanley Hotel opened on July 4, 1909, catering to upper-class clientele. Just as the Overlook closed each winter, so too did the Stanley, and central heating was only added in 1983, despite the fact that luxuries such as electricity, running water, and in-room telephones were available early on. Although the Stanley sold the hotel as their age advanced, it is said that they have not truly left, as Mr. Stanley has been seen hovering in the billiard room, and Flora has been known to play the piano in the music room. Stephen and Tabitha King stayed in room 217 at the Stanley, and this room was the site of the non-fatal electrocution of a longtime employee during a 1911 lightning storm. Other paranormal activity reported at the Stanley include clothes being mysteriously unpacked, items moving, lights turning on and off, and the sounds of children giggling and running through the halls. Another common apparition seen at the hotel is that of Lucy, a small girl who was found living in the basement of the hotel by maintenance men and forced to leave, only to be found frozen to death the next day. The Stanley has nightly tours of the hotel that describe reported hauntings. Although the next location is currently closed to living tourists, it is often thought that a number of paranormal residents remain, some of whom are fairly famous. The Chelsea Hotel in New York City opened its doors to guests in 1884. At that time, the 12-story red brick building was the tallest in the state. Its Victorian Gothic architecture features iron balconies and a grand staircase that connects all 12 floors. Many guests and owners have passed through the Chelsea Hotel through the years. Some of the more famous guests of the hotel include Mark Twain, Arthur Miller, Tennessee Williams, Madonna, Janis Joplin, Alice Cooper, Patti Smith, Jimi Hendrix, Dylan Thomas, and Sid Vicious of Sex Pistols fame. Many guests have insisted that these last two guests have not left the Chelsea. Dylan Thomas moved into the Chelsea in October of 1953. The famous author was known to have a wide range of health issues as well as being an alcoholic. He was found dead on November 9, 1953 in room 206 and has been seen there on many occasions since. Guests have also heard heavy footsteps outside the room that never entered. Sid Vicious and Nancy Spungen started dating in 1977, and soon after the breakup of the Sex Pistols, they moved into room 100 of the Chelsea Hotel under fake names. On October 12, 1978, Nancy was found dead in the bathroom of room 100. Before his own death in 1979, Sid Vicious described the Chelsea as a vortex, an artistic tornado of death and destruction and love and broken dreams. Perhaps that is why many say that Sid and Nancy continue to haunt room 100 at the Chelsea, as many guests have reported seeing them and hearing them fighting in the bathroom of the room. Additionally, mysterious screams have occurred in room 124 along with lights turning on and off. Apparitions have been seen on the 8th floor, and poltergeist-like activity of furniture being moved has been reported in the basement of the Chelsea Hotel. For the last 50 years, guests have been staying at a truly unique hotel in Long Beach, California. This hotel is particularly unique because it actually is a retired ocean liner permanently docked there. Construction of the Queen Mary began in 1930. At that time, the Cunard Line based in Clydebank, Scotland has been christening ships with names ending in the letters IA, so the company approached King George to receive his blessing to name the new ship after England's greatest queen, meaning his grandmother, Queen Victoria. King George responded that his wife would be delighted to have the ship named after her, so the Queen Mary she was to be. The Queen Mary departed Southampton, England on May 27, 1936 for its maiden voyage across the Atlantic. For several years, the ocean liner provided high-class accommodations to wealthy clients, among whom were Bob Hope, Clark Gable, Winston Churchill, and the Duke and Duchess of Windsor. The Queen Mary became a troop transporting ship during World War II, and then returned to passenger duty at the conclusion of the war. By this time, air travel was rapidly replacing ocean liners for transatlantic travel, and the Queen Mary arrived at its final port in Long Beach on December 9, 1967. The Queen Mary is said to have as many as 150 active spirits haunting, with its long history, wartime service, and the 49 reported deaths that have occurred since it has been docked at Long Beach. Stories of paranormal activity abound. The Queen Mary's engine room is located 50 feet below water level and was the site of filming of the Poseidon Adventure. Door 13 in the engine room has claimed at least two lives by crushing people to death. One of the young sailors is often seen in blue over coveralls and sporting a beard. The first-class swimming pool, which has not been used in more than 3 decades, often has women lounging about in 1930s bathing suits, along with splashing sounds and wet footprints leading to the changing rooms. Other occurrences include the appearance of a man in a suit from the 1930s in first-class staterooms, lights turn on and off, phones ring with no one at the other end, babies cry, temperatures change, and ghostly aromas waft through the ship. The Queen Mary is a hotel, as well as a museum, and ghost tours are offered, some of which include seances. Our final ghostly hotel stop might lead you to question whether its history is that of life imitating art, or art imitating life. On Main Street in Los Angeles, California, sits the Cecil Hotel, the place that inspired the setting and plot of the last season of American Horror Story. The famous Art Deco-styled hotel was built in 1924 at a cost of $1 million, and was intended to be a destination for business travelers and tourists. Once the Great Depression hit, the area around the Cecil declined quickly, earning the nickname Skid Row, and with 10,000 homeless within a 4-mile radius, the hotel became known as a destination for vagrants. On January 15, 1947, a nude female body was found, which had been cut in half at the waist, drained of blood, with mouth cut from ear to ear and several other slashes on the body. The victim was dubbed Black Dahlia, until later being identified as Elizabeth Short. The Cecil is the last place that she was seen alive. In the 1950s and 60s, the Cecil became known for suicide victims jumping from windows to their deaths. On October 22, 1954, Helen Gurney leapt from a 7th-floor window, landing on the hotel's marquee. On February 11, 1962, Julia Moore jumped from her 8th-floor window. In October of the same year, Pauline Otten jumped from her 9th-floor room, killing herself and George Giannini, whom she landed on. In 1964, Goldie Osgood, known as the Pigeon Woman, for feeding and caring for birds in a nearby park, was found dead in her ransacked room. She had been stabbed, strangled, and raped. In 1984 and 85, a serial killer known as the Night Stalker preyed upon Los Angeles, killing 13 women. The killer, later known to be Richard Ramirez, was a resident at the Cecil during this time, and it is believed that he disposed of his bloody clothing in the hotel's dumpster. In 1991, Johann Unterweger visited Los Angeles from Austria under the guise of researching the killing of prostitutes in the United States. In reality, he was a copycat of Ramirez, the Night Stalker, and killed 3 prostitutes while staying at the Cecil. It was later found out that these 3 were in addition to 7 he had already killed prior to leaving Austria. The Cecil most recently gained press attention in February of 2013 when hotel officials began investigating reports of foul-tasting and smelling water that started coming in from guests. Upon inspection of the water tower atop the hotel, the decomposing body of 21-year-old Elisa Lamb was found. Review of security videos shows her getting into an elevator, fumbling with buttons, and exiting the elevator, speaking to someone who is neither seen nor heard. The rooftop of the hotel is protected by an alarm, and it is difficult to access and climb inside the water tower. Lamb's death remains unsolved. American Horror Story and The Shining are just 2 instances of hotels being used as settings for terror in the horror genre. In the discussion that follows, we will explore some others. When you are traveling and you see those neon signs that proclaim that there is a vacancy, I hope you will check carefully to make sure that your assigned room really is unoccupied. You may need to think twice about which side of the door you hang the Do Not Disturb sign on.
Dun dun dun!
Dun dun dun! Boom.
Creepy, creepy stuff, Dark.
I like the subject because I've stayed in like some of the shittiest hotels that your imagination could possibly come up with, and it's largely due to human neglect, but I've also stayed in a few that were a little creepier than that, so...
Do you have any experiences? Strange and unexplained experiences?
Yeah, but not of the supernatural type.
Ones that weren't on, that could be attributed to pharmaceutical misuse.
Yeah.
Mark.
We'll call it that. We'll go with that.
Yeah, call it that. Okay.
That, I don't know if any of you have ever checked out that, the video footage of that Lamb woman who was found in the water tower. The video footage is fucking creepy. It's like straight from a horror movie. You see her get onto the hotel the hotel's elevator, and she does. She seems to be confused about how the buttons work, and then she appears to want to get out and then get back in, and then she is visibly talking to someone that isn't there. And then it's the elevator, and the next time anyone sees her body, it's floating in a water tower, which she shouldn't have been able to get access to, and no one knows how she did that.
Yeah, she shouldn't have been able to get to the roof, and she's a little skinny Asian girl. She shouldn't have been able to, like, open up and climb into this water tower.
Of course she's Asian, dealing with the water towers and the water. It's like rain and dark water and all these damn things, man. Oh, God.
It's really, really fucking creepy, especially when you watch those, like, YouTube videos where people start putting the creepy music over the top of it, which doesn't help. We're like, this is already pretty creepy. Oh, I'm glad that we're adding to the creepiness right now.
It's really creepy.
All we need now is the shot of Linda Blair and everything will be fine. but, yeah, it's very creepy.
I would definitely do a Linda Blair vomit. If I knew that I'd been drinking water that had someone decomposing in it coming out of the
This water tastes a bit funky. Could someone check it out? Yeah, we found out what the problem is with the water, and there was a dead body in it.
There was a family they interviewed, right? Or a couple or something that stayed here and they interviewed about this because they had been drinking the water just like crazy. I can't remember. When the story came out, I remember seeing the article. Well, I'd like to know what Undead, because he travels around everywhere too. You've been in a ton of hotels, man. You've been anywhere creepy?
No, high class, nothing but high class here. I live in like a king, motherfuckers.
That's awesome.
Just creepy people, not creepy hotel. I mean, there's been some fucked up people, but I wouldn't say I've stayed in a place that's freaked me out, but I'm a motherfucking undead. I don't get scared.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
How do you argue with that? You can't argue with that.
Well, it's not always the place, though, right? I mean, you know, there was nothing really fucked up about the Bates Motel at all. There's nothing fucking, you know, other than the taxidermy.
I mean, other than Norman.
Walls. That's what I'm saying, but, well, like Undead said, you know, creepy people, not really a creepy hotel.
I mean, sometimes you hear a lot of banging on the walls and screaming, but it's usually like, give it to me, baby.
Whoa, people sing Offspring while they're having sex?
Is that who sings that song?
I guess.
Doesn't everyone?
Well, I thought most people had sex to that Ylvis song, What Does the Fox Say? It's got a good, you know, grinding beat to it. Yeah. Yip,
yip, yip, yip, I just thought they all sounded like Michael Berryman. I didn't know.
Well, that's a good choice, too. Dark's like, this has nothing to do
sorry,
with
it. Dark, I derailed you already. I'm not used to this serious shit. You have to forgive me.
I understand. Everyone's just waking up from their little nap during my monologue.
No,
I was
going
to say that, but I didn't.
I like the stories. I like the stories, dude. I like the stories.
It was interesting what I remember of it.
It's hard to even figure out where to start, you know, other than, like, you know, you've said The Shining, but your mind goes a mile a minute of, like, when you're listing stuff off, you're talking about people jumping out of windows, I'm picturing 1408, you're talking about this part, I'm thinking, you know, it's just 100 movies are flashing up that use the hotel setting, you know. We have our generic settings, right? The hotel, the psych, you know, hospital, or just hospital, the school, you know, there's all, you know. So it's
motels are creepier than hotels.
Yeah, motels are way creepier.
Oh my God, the creepiest one I ever stayed at, where was I coming back from? I was coming back from a training session in Fort Lauderdale. I drove down because I'm not going to bore you with all those details. But anyway, I drove to Fort Lauderdale for this training session, which is like 15 hours from here. And on the way back, I stopped in South Carolina because I was about to fall asleep. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop at motherfucking South of the Border. I stayed at Pedro's Motel at South of the Border. This is in like 2007. And it was the creepiest fucking little, like, 1950s roadside motel thing that you have ever seen. Like, you drive down this road between two sets of, like, connected motel rooms. They have these little carports in front of them that you can pull your car into. And, like, you know, you just go right into the door from the outside. It is creepy as shit. Like, I almost couldn't sleep. Like, I was dead tired from driving all the way back, and just the thought that somebody was going to burst in that door from the outside at any minute. I mean, the TVs looked like they had been there since the late 70s. You know, the paneling, it was dark. in the room. It was just creepy as shit.
Dude, this reminds me of a freaking story, and I have been meaning to tell all of you to go check this out. I swear to God. And this is the perfect opportunity to do it. So, you know, we've got, like, you know, great, great horror story podcasts like, you know, No Sleep and Chilling Tales. You know, they have a great sound. You have great narrators. All right, well, where's this guy that did these shows? And I'm sure some of the people here have definitely heard it. Knife Point Horror. Right, there's no background sounds. There's no effects to it. He's just reading a story, which it gives it such a real edge to it. It really does. There's one that he did, and I cannot remember the name of it. So if anyone knows, just let me know, because I'd love to pitch it. Throw some glow its way. It was a story about a kid. I guess he runs away from home, and it starts pouring down rain. So he goes up to this abandoned, like, two-story, like, motel. And he goes and breaks into a room and, like, you know, I don't want to give everything away. There's something with someone else staying in there in the room beside it. And it is just one of the creepiest, most unsettling fucking stories I've ever heard. Most of the stuff that guy does is really good, but it made me think of that one about the hotel. But just go check it out. There was only like a couple of them, like a handful, like maybe a dozen of them. And they were all really, really good. It's called Knife Point Horror. And it's got the creepiest little picture in the fucking world for its album art. But yeah, check it out. Knife Point Horror. Hotels. All right, that's what I had to say. That's what I had to say about hotels. I've never stayed in a really creepy hotel, so I've never, you know, I don't have any stories about creepy hotels.
There is one in Wyoming that definitely stands out. It's called the Virginian, and it's in Medicine Bow, Wyoming. And
told us that. Didn't you stay in the Virginian?
I've stayed there, and they're a customer of ours at work, so I get to go, and, like, I usually go in either the morning or the super late at night. And it's an old, old fucking building. I think it was built in like 1911 or some shit. So it's well over 100 years old. And
that's like brand new to Duncan.
Yeah, true.
Like, for starters, it's fucking got a super creepy basement. Well, just the fact that it's, like, still standing and it's still, like, pretty much the same exact shit as it's been for like 100 years. There's been no renovation. I think it's like it's got like historical status of some kind just because. It's this really weird, like, I think it's a three-story building, and it's just kind of out in the middle of fucking nowhere. Like, this town, Medicine Bow, has, like, their population is, like, less than 100. And, I don't know, it's got all these weird, like, paintings and murals and weird shit that's, like, probably been there for 100 years or maybe a little less. And there's lots of stories of, like, the paintings fucking eyes watching you and shit, and people walking on the floors above you when you know damn well that there's nobody staying up there. And I don't think, like, they have a hard time. I mean, not just because the town is so small, but, like, because the people that have to work there, like, work there when there's nobody else there. They tend to hear real spooky shit, like, when they know nobody else is there. So they have a hard time keeping people staffed, I'm sure. And I don't know. I've been in this building. It is old, and I could definitely see, like, especially the basement is pretty. You just get, like, kind of a creepy feeling going down there because the lighting's real bad and stairs are old and creaky, and I don't know. It's kind of cool.
It sounds pretty creepy. I want to go see it, but I don't want to travel that far.
You want to see it? You want to see it?
You look up a picture. Man, Russell's posting all kinds of shit on Cecil Hotel.
Thank you.
Sorry, I was drinking water there, Dark, and I was refusing to spit out this thing. What a sad.
Yeah, thank God.
Spit it out.
Oh no! Oh,
anyway,
I could tell you about The Witchery if you wanted.
What is that?
Yes, go for it.
Right, so The Witchery is like a hotel restaurant, and it's literally a stone's throw from Edinburgh Castle, which is, everyone knows it. You will have seen a picture of Edinburgh Castle. It's like one of the most famous landmarks in Scotland. But when you come out of Edinburgh Castle. Edinburgh is a great city anyway because it's, or as Americans call it, Edinburgh. It's a great city. And it's the greatest city, it's the best city, it's the greatest bit. But you come out the castle and you have this old cobbled street. I don't think, do they have cobbled streets in America anywhere? No, probably
maybe,
not.
Maybe
you guys had
England.
Roads by then.
We have fake ones. Like, they've just pressed the cobble design into concrete.
Yeah, so we had proper cobbles. And it comes out and, you know, it goes down this road, which is known as the Royal Mile, for obvious reasons. And you have all these buildings which date back hundreds upon hundreds of years. But The Witchery is a particularly old building, probably talking maybe circa 1600s. fucking amazing inside. If you get the chance, Google The Witchery Edinburgh, and you can see these rooms are like something from like a gothic horror movie. Just the most amazing rooms. They cost a fortune to stay in, and you have to book like months and months in advance. But The Witchery itself gets its name from the fact that it was actually built in and around the area where people were burned at the stake for witchcraft.
Holy shit, I'm looking at some of these rooms. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, you can stay in them. They're fucking amazing.
This is like watching, Hammer Horror. I feel like I'm in like
Black Sabbath. Yeah, that's what Black they look Sabbath. Like inside. Basically, and every single room looks completely, and they have like a room called the library, and it's styled like a library, and you know, things like, it's really, really, really cool place to be. But yeah, so of course, there are many, 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 many sightings and rumours of the ghosts of women who were burned in or around the witchery by guests that have stayed there. Many, many famous people have stayed there, actors and actresses and stuff like that, because it's, you know, cost quite a bit of money and stuff. But yeah, it's apparently built pretty much on the grounds of where actual people were burned at the stake for witchcraft back in like the 1500s and stuff, when they had the witch trials over here. So
that kind of totally trumps everything.
I can get there in like half an hour. So.
Dude, that trumps everything. I'm looking at this one dining room that's all just lit by these candles everywhere on the table.
Oh, it looks amazing, isn't it?
And it's like trumped everything. That is the scariest place in the whole world. That is the scariest hotel in the whole
world.
There's
that like dimpled crushed velvet backing on the benches in
it
there.
It really feels like you're in Hammer Horror. And every freaking picture I'm looking at, it's creepy as crap.
Yeah, and like about a 10-minute drive from where I live, there's Earth Castle, and Earth Castle is now like a posh hotel, and people have weddings there, and there's a big fancy gym and a spa that's run out of it. It's like all big business, but you know, the building's fairly old itself. It's all been done up, and there's a local kind of rumor of hauntings in there to do with two children and their nanny who died in the castle. I think it was in a house fire. And they've apparently been seen quite a lot as well. There's actually, when I think about it just now, there's a lot, I know we're talking about hotels and things like that, but see graveyards? There's a shitload of haunted graveyards in and around Scotland. There's a large kind of stately house sort of thing called Callander House, which is 5 minutes from where I live, and it was kind of gifted to the people. It was like one of these, the family gifted it to the locals to look after and all the rest, and the building that's in the middle of it, you know, the kind of stately house is now a museum and stuff, but it's huge grounds. We used to play in the woods when I was a kid. That's the woods that I wouldn't walk through after seeing the Blair Witch Project, remember I told you? In the middle of them is an actual mausoleum, and
holy
I don't
shit.
Know if you can get a picture of that, it's fucking terrifying. And we used to go down there at about Halloween time, and it would scare the ever-loving fuck out of you. Also had sex in that graveyard, so that's incidental.
Whoa!
You're the second person on this show who has mentioned such things.
That I had fucked in a graveyard.
Yeah, I think Russell.
Never felt more alive.
I think Russell mentioned something about it last week.
What? What is up with you guys? Well, okay, it's cool.
Right, I'm going to try and find a picture of the
so I'd be too scared to get it up.
With about a million stories here.
I'd be terrified of like Phantasm, man.
There's
Jawa,
a lot.
The Jawas. Those fucking Jawas in Phantasm are ridiculous. Yeah, I don't want them coming up while we're trying to have sex in the graveyard with some spooky woman.
Yeah, I found a picture of it. You want to be terrified?
Yes, let's be terrified.
Yeah, let's copy this link.
Well, Stephen posted a really creepy. Look at the creepy bathroom that Stephen posted from The Witchery. That's terrifying. I don't know why.
Witchery's bitching. I've never stayed in it because it costs £350 a night, which is expensive. That's looking down from the castle.
Jesus Christ, did anyone see the picture Stephen's posted of the blood all over the room?
Yeah, I see it now.
No.
Okay, you need to scroll down to where he's got a picture of a room with this giant stream of blood, and it's all over the whole room and all over everything.
What does it say, Danny? Why are you laughing? You're laughing because it's something naughty, isn't it?
No, you just have to see it and then
read the comment
and
below.
Read Lisa's comment below. God, Russell C. has worn off on people. Lisa, Jesus Christ almighty. Oh God. All right, we had to pull.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that picture, and it is now posted.
Let me see this.
This is Calendar Park Mausoleum, and you can get in to see it.
Where?
And
damn it!
Sits right in the middle of a forest.
Yeah, I think you need to refresh right again because you're...
Oh my God!
Ooh,
what the shit?
Yeah, and there was rumors that there was like a secret passage from the house during the war, the First World War, which would connect you from the house to the mausoleum, but it's never been proved. And that's before we start talking about things like Roslyn Chapel over here, or the Greyfriars Kirk Cemetery, which is considered the most haunted cemetery in the world, which is in Edinburgh as well.
This picture you posted makes me think of something that Aaron Mankey did a long time ago.
Did it have to do with like fairies or something?
I know exactly what you're going to say. Because it made me think of when I checked the picture of it, I was like, holy fuck, this is... It was about that guy who was the limestone merchant, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. And was paying all the people with his own like currency, and you know, kept them all up in that area or something. And...
Yep. And he built a mausoleum with like chairs that people could sit on.
Yeah.
And that's his grave for all his family. Yes. Yeah. Well, there you go.
That's what it made me think of. Like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, that is creepy, like Aaron Mankey's story. But yes, Dart's like, don't mention Aaron Mankey. Like,
whatever.
Five minutes from my house. So if anyone ever wants to come and visit me, we can go there.
We need to, because this is crazy. I gotta see that stuff.
I want to, but I'm going to have to probably pitch a tent and camp there instead of staying in that other place.
Yeah, you wouldn't stay at the witchery. You wouldn't stay at the witchery. You would stay somewhere else.
Smoke could. Look at that big house he's got.
So, right.
I've just seen that comment that Lisa posted. Lisa. Lisa.
I'm pretty sure someone used the whole room as one.
Tabitha and Russell are wearing off on people.
So, what the fuck was I going to say?
I don't know.
There's the top five haunted places in Scotland.
There was a place around here. Do you remember when you go up toward the national park, Danny? That old house on the left, that old brick house there.
Like a huge. It's a huge, huge house.
Yeah, I think they have like a pottery studio or something there now. But it used to be like a hotel just outside of Shenandoah National Park, and. It's where they have like the Lydia Mountain cabins and stuff now. Well, they said that place was haunted, and like if you stayed there, something would rip the sheets off of you in the middle of the night. Well,
that's just annoying,
like that.
Though. That's not like sitting in that chair from the other week that we talked
about.
Yeah,
I mean, if that's the case, my house is haunted, but I really think it's just my wife pulling goddamn covers off every night.
She's trying to wake you up when you're over there masturbating in your sleep. She's like, stop it.
Probably because I'm snoring. She's like, maybe if he freezes to death, he'll stop snoring.
She's probably trying to wrap it around your fucking throat and kill you in your sleep.
But maybe if I do this just right, it'll look like he somehow got it wrapped around his neck on his own.
You should put your dick in your hand.
Just shut up.
It'll look like just shut up. You just hung yourself.
Just shut up.
Okay. There's also...
When we went over to London, the place that we stayed... The place that we stayed, it was like... I don't know. I want to say it was like...
not old.
Huh?
No, I was just saying London backwards.
Dumbass.
It's like Red Rum. Is that weird?
See, all this hotel talk. That's
I want to say that it was like a big section of what used to be something... What we would today probably call like townhouses, but you know, back then it was just a bunch of people all lived in these houses in the same block. I don't know what the fuck. It was over in Bayswater, district of London. And I want to say that these used to be just people's houses, and they kind of like renovated the whole thing and turned it into like a touristy, like an inexpensive little touristy hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, you know, setups like that, or bed and breakfast kind of things, they kind of give me the creeps. I mean, people think that it's so like, you know, quaint and nice and romantic, and I'm like, I'm going to stay in these people, you know, like a room in these people's house, and God knows what's going to happen. I mean, Airbnb's made it really big now, you know, but the whole thing kind of creeps me out. Like, there's a lot of trust there.
It's like yeah, I was going to say it's like Motel Hell, because that's not really a motel. It's more like what you're talking about, Airbnb style. Only she didn't like she didn't confirm this little stay ahead of time on the computer.
There's I was gonna say there's a sticking with Edinburgh because just Edinburgh is a fucking place full of haunted places. There's this kind of ghost walk you can do called Mary King's Close. And do you guys know what a close is? No.
Right,
so a close is the kind of the equivalent of like a cul-de-sac.
Okay.
I know what a cul-de-sac is.
Yeah.
I just sometimes forget that like some of what I say just sounds like gibberish over there. It kind of comes out like Charlie Brown. Wah, wah, wah. You know what I mean? That's a close was the term, some kind of older term for which would be like a small street that would go up with houses kind of tightly packed either side. And Mary King's Close is now like a ghost walk, because the whole area was kind of closed off during the Black Plague, like in the 1700s, and people died in there. We just kind of walled them off because that's what we did over here with people. We don't know how to cure plague, wall them off. but there's people build still alive in there. That was the original Donald Trump. That's what we did with like that. You know, these plague people come over here.
Did you make them pay for it? Did you make the dead people pay for it?
We made them build it with our last. Well, wait one second. There's no door on this side. like, ha ha. But yeah, so that's it got opened. I can't remember when they reopened. So maybe less than like 15, 20 years ago they reopened it, and they now do like walks up it. And it's a fairly popular thing, but the amount of potential ghost sites there, I've never done it, because I've heard that as soon as you step foot in it, like the hairs on your arm and the back of your neck and stuff like that will stand up straight away, and you just inherently feel weirded out as soon as you step in. It's like you feel a presence straight away. And I've never, they do like Halloween things, you know, up there, and I've never had the ball to do it. And I may try, not this year, maybe next year or the year after. Come to Edinburgh, like come across and stay. What I'm trying to do, what I'm using this show for now, since we started this, let's talk about things there, is using it as a vehicle to drum up tourism to increase the stock market value of the pound, which is plummeting at the moment. Come to Scotland. It's cheaper for you to come to Scotland now than it has ever been.
Well, it's not sure. It's not financial.
I'm sure it's plummeting. It may be plummeting in reference to the euro, but I'm sure it's still stronger than the dollar.
It's not finances.
It's almost even Stevens with the dollar. So,
oh wow,
come over now.
You're pitching to the wrong person though. Because Dr. Dark can't travel. He's a flight risk. They won't let him on a plane.
I'm on the no-fly list. Yeah, I would have to get a private charter. Yeah,
he can't come to you.
Other people can fly.
Yeah, we can. You know, us that aren't pedos, we can fly wherever we want to.
That's fucked up.
Oh, it's just a joke. We got jokes, yo.
We went on the Jack the Ripper walking tour when we were in London. And
nice.
That was creepy on a whole host of reasons, because it was kind of dark and kind of, you know, like, you know, dreary and in these back streets.
And there was a drunk bum back there.
Yeah,
there was
a halfway house back there, and there was all these like drunks and vagrants like sitting out front of it and stumbling around, and they were like harassing the people on the walking tour. And our guide is like, just ignore them. Usually they leave you alone after a couple minutes. We've only been chased like once, and I'm like, what the fuck? Fuck this.
What was the guy saying? Like, and up here is a historic site where the guys are like, oi, I'm Jack the Ripper. Called himself Jack the Zipper, and his cock was hanging out.
Sounds actually exactly what was going on. Dude.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
And over here is where Mary Kelly was slaughtered. Jack the Zipper, Jack the Zipper. It was me, I fucked it. That's what they're like. You've got to watch yourself in London. London is not a safe place.
It really wasn't. No, we saw some crazy crime going on.
Yeah, we went through the red light district to go over to the theater district.
I'm sure you did to get to the theater district. You nasty, nasty man. The only way we can possibly get to the theater district is to go through this red light district.
Yeah, it was a school trip too, but they were all for it. They were like, let's just go.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, definitely.
Dr. Dark, that's where he first found his first dude. It was crazy. Like, that's why he'll never forget London.
What are you talking about?
I love that that's your only response. He just, what are you talking about?
I'm so confused.
Hey, Undead, do you still do the Halloween thing where you guys go to the Halloween street?
Oh, yeah. In Athens?
Yeah.
When I'm home, I do. Yes.
Okay. All right. Because I we hadn't really talked about it since Webula went and
since the name shall not be mentioned.
Yeah, well, I just said.
Yeah,
it
we too. Don't mention them anymore.
We stayed in a hotel with Webula one night, but nothing really haunted happened. I don't think.
Naked women.
Grab my pussy.
Oh, come on now. He never said that. He wouldn't say the word pussy.
Exactly.
It's not fair. You can't do that.
Grab my pussy poo.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, that's a dark phrase.
That's what I was referring to.
Oh.
It's a dark phrase. All right, Dark, do you have any like good hotel? I mean, I know you came up with some kind of
hotel.
What are
you talking about? I talked for 8 minutes about fucking.
No, I wanted to know, like, I wanted to know if you had, like, if, or not just you, people, if anyone has any good reference material, books, movies, something, you know, not the basic stuff. That's stuff that people don't know of.
Mountaintop Motel Massacre.
Ooh, what is Mountaintop Motel Massacre?
Sounds like something that happened at Afton.
All right, we'll have to look that. I'll have to look that up.
That one you have to look up.
And The Shining, of course, the book. Because
Dark, you've been to the fucking Stanley, haven't you?
Yeah, he's been.
Yeah, I went.
You guys got to do The Shining. Yeah. Just
you
because.
You don't sound that impressed.
But, no,
I want to watch The Shining in The Stanley. Don't they do that?
Yeah, they have. Sure well, you can. They have a channel that plays it 24/7 on a loop.
That's awesome.
In there. Actually, recently they, not recently.
It has to
really,
be the made
like,
TV movie. It can't be that shitty Kubrick shit.
Oh my God.
I will not rise to your comments, Sunday.
You knew better than that. You knew better than that.
I know, I saw right through that. You watched
it
go on dead.
Hey, dude, that made for TV one was pretty good.
It sucked nuts.
It's a little closer to Steven's real story. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's all.
I got the story in the book. I'll watch the good movie.
That's true. All right, but yeah, but you need to read the book, you know, so you know the real story, you know.
Yes.
Because there would be nothing else without that real story, you know. Whatever.
This is true. This is true.
Apparently, apparently. I've lost my train of thought.
Yeah, apparently you have.
apparently they don't want. They want to kind of.
Apparently.
Seriously. They stopped doing the some of their paranormal investigation stuff there last summer. They wanted to try and, you know, not have it just be like a campy, you know, pilgrimage location for people who are fans of the book and the movie and stuff. They wanted to kind of try to make sure everyone still knows it's a really nice fucking hotel, as well as the fact that there may be some hauntings and
dude, nobody's staying in a fucking hotel over there. And where'd you say, Colorado?
Estes Park.
Yeah, fuck no, they're staying in Airbnb so they can smoke weed. Who the fuck is staying in a fucking hotel?
You got money.
Yeah, that's because
Stanley is worth checking out.
Well, then Undead.
How far
will be
away
there.
Is it?
I know. I was about to say he'll
from,
be there
from you, like right an hour maybe. Really? It's not very far away.
Steven recommends Deathbed.
You kind of got to go on that.
It's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I kind of feeling it now. Maybe not stay there, but go and check it out.
I was only there for like an hour myself. I took some pictures outside and went inside and looked around the lobby. They've got a Stanley Steamer car in the lobby.
Should go up there and see if Lloyd will serve you a bourbon. White man's worse.
Ah, yeah. Dude, I see the
or Freeland Stanley will serve you one.
I see the period thread continued all the way down to where someone posted a picture of Duncan looking at himself in the mirror.
What? What's this? I'm not gonna like this.
No, because as soon as I saw it, that's all I could picture in my head is Duncan looking in the mirror, going, "Oh my fucking god, what have I done?" That's all I can see.
What is it? Where is it?
You gotta go. You gotta
it's
go
on the same thread.
It's on
as
the same thread of the. It's on
the
same. The
bloody
thread.
Motel room.
Yeah, it's the tampon.
All right. Wait, give me a second. I'm gonna find this.
It's,
oh no!
I mean, even the shocked look on the face.
That's what I was like.
That's what I pictured. That's the first thing that came to
my
mind.
My name was John Cena.
Oh God, poor Duncan. That was a great story.
That's a true fucking horror story.
I know. See, Dark, are you going to let's do true horror stories after October? because that could be a really bad episode.
Yeah, it could, especially if I tell some real stories.
Yeah, if you, well,
I could tell some.
I would love you to tell your stories, but in your dark discussion. I'd like to hear you with that professional voice be like, and then I jacked off underneath the lunch table, and then I let all the kids share it together. Oh, God, Bert and Ernie. You know why it's funny? It's because it's a true story. That's what's funny about it. He didn't share it with all the kids, though, I don't think. He might have. I don't know.
I mean, I shared it with whoever had to mop in there.
Oh, God. I hope the old cafeteria cleaner is listening right now. It's like, that son of a bitch.
If they, you know, I could probably tell a whole 20-minute monologue about all the places I jacked off in and around the school.
God, no. Save it for your memoirs.
From middle school to high school. If I wrote my memoirs as a novel,
oh God,
it would be a bestseller. I couldn't. I mean, I'd have to change a lot of names and stuff.
Would you call it 50 Shades of Gay? I was just wondering what you'd call your fucking book.
It would be like
The Woman Inside Me.
No.
Toad's going to jail.
He'll be like Tobias of Arrested Development, the man inside me. And he'll
pitch it. The day the dildo came home.
Hey, he actually did a movie, Undead. It was called Dark Knight of the Dildo.
Oh, it was.
We posted the VHS cover.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I figured since it said VHS, you weren't going to look at it. But
VHS, you got to have it.
Mark.
Mark wants to see it.
What's
the
set? Oh, whoa.
Picture quality is superb.
That's one of the set.
Okay, now you're starting to sound like the
what's the tracking? I want to sound
the big bald coach off Scary Movie. Do you guys remember Scary Movie?
Yes.
All right, do you remember the big bald coach that's like, yes, come tell me anything, and she's got this huge ball hanging down her fucking leg?
Oh yeah,
that's now
Mrs. That's Man. Billy.
Yeah, Mrs. Man. That's
it. Or is it Miss Man? I think it's Miss Man.
You know, as retarded amazing as that movie is, it's still fucking hilarious as shit.
Woman looks like China from the wrestling.
Yeah. Hey, oh, looks Lisa posted Dr. Dark's book. Oh no, someone already wrote it. Dr. Dark. Jeffrey Self wrote it. 50 Shades of Gay. It's already done. You have to call it something else. 50 Shades of Cock Sucking. I don't know. Something different.
Talking about 50 Shades of Cum Stain. Stuff that's. Now that we've kind of moved off the slightly more serious topic and the nonsense. Did everyone see episode 2, season 2 of Ash vs. Evil Dead?
Yes.
I haven't seen any of it yet.
Is it possibly the funniest thing you've ever seen? I was like,
Evil Dead than that?
I was close to
peeing myself on the couch. I actually couldn't get up for laughing.
It might be the most Evil Dead moment in all. Exactly. I agree with Mark. That is the most Evil Dead moment in Evil Dead. I mean, that's insane.
Undead, we were saying it last week. It is like a literal fucking horse race with the TV shows now. There's like so many of them like vying
Westworld,
for the
number. I don't know if anybody's watching
Westworld.
Oh,
Westworld.
Yeah, I just started watching it. Jaw dropping.
Shit's gotten crazy on TV. You guys need to check out Channel Zero. We'll see if it gets any.
Did you watch that, Danny?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Dude,
it
was
watching it. At? You got that Pop channel, or is it on Hulu, or?
It was on Sci-Fi.
Oh, Sci-Fi. I don't think it's on Hulu then.
It was on Sci-Fi. I'm sure it's on any of those sites that you want.
And
is it worth checking out? I mean, just to see where this is going to go. Like the puppets. All right, the puppets in this show, the Candle Cove show, are creepy as shit. Have you guys read the Candle Cove creepypasta story?
I know nothing about it.
Okay, so basically, it was written like a message board thread, like someone saying, "Hey, do you guys remember this show from the 70s? It was called Candle Cove. It was these really bad puppets, you know, and." They start talking about it, and these people start chiming in. These different people are like, "Yeah, yeah, I remember it. You remember this?" And they keep adding to the story. And someone eventually posts, like, the show used to give me nightmares. You know, I remember I had a nightmare of this episode where all the puppets were just waving around like crazy and, like, screaming for, like, 30 minutes. And someone writes back, and they're like, "No, I remember that episode." And they start arguing that this was a dream, and then multiple people remember this episode. And then the story ends with one of the guys coming back and posting, you know, updating, saying, "Guys, you know, I went and talked to my mom at the retirement home and I asked her about this. And she told me it was funny that I remembered this because he would come to her as a little child and just be like, you know, hey, mom, I'm going to go watch Candle Cove. And he'd go to the TV and turn it to static and just sit there and watch static for 30 minutes. And so, like, they capture this whole creepypasta in one episode. So I don't know where, I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what the tooth boy, the tooth fairy boy that eats teeth, I don't know what he's going to have to do with this.
Yeah, just the picture of that when you showed us that, like,
and it's not the creepiest thing. Like, there's a part where the marionette is standing there, and that is terrifying. And the first couple minutes, the guy is talking about, you know, being a child psychiatrist, and he's on a TV show, and so he keeps looking off set, and you see all the people standing behind the cameras and his producer. You see everyone standing there. And then he has some weird flash when they get this kid on the phone, and when he looks back up, they're all like fucking they're like mannequins or something. And then they flash to this thing burning in a hallway. It's weird shit, dude. I'm hoping that they'll be able to continue the creepiness with it. You know, it was a lot of setup for this one. But, you know, it's worth checking out, especially because it's sci-fi and they just really haven't done a lot. And it seems like, you know, they're trying to pull themselves back into everything and not just be the silly Sharknado people. They're trying to be serious with shit. So. Check it out.
Oh, I can't wait to check it out.
And, you know, I was playing some stupid games the other night. You know, one of those games where it's like, oh, you can get all these extra gems and coins if you do one of these stupid sign-up things, right? Well, one
Pokemon
of them...
Pokemon Go?
No, it was... It's, you know, those stupid coin machine games where you put the coin in and the thing keeps pushing all the coins down? Well, it was a horror one. So I'm playing the shit out of it, and I want some more coins. And so they offered 7 days of Shudder. So I was like, fuck yeah, I can get 7 days of Shudder, and I can get all these gems and coins. So I've been watching Shudder, and it totally just destroys Netflix on horror. It really
does. Shudder is amazing. I've had it for about 6 months.
Yeah, it's just come to the UK this week. The beta's come out, so I've signed in, but I checked it out. It was a decent selection considering it just launched, but
aren't they
I haven't watched anything on it yet.
Ring versus Grudge.
Yes, that's going to be an exclusive when it goes live. They're going to put Ring versus Grudge.
What was the movie you guys posted? Maybe it was on your podcast under the stairs site, but somebody posted one that's supposed to be on Shudder, and I can't find it.
Which one?
What movie you watched?
Oh, Nowhere Lake?
Yes, I've been looking for that.
It's not. I didn't see it on Shudder. I didn't really look too much on Shudder.
Maybe it's UK only. Huh?
It could be. Because the only thing I'm seeing on Shudder is basically everything that we've ever talked about on this show and everything we did on the Euro tour. There's Cub, and then there's, you know, I mean, everything we talked about is all over that damn thing.
I think so, Cub's on Amazon Prime also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amazon Prime stepped up their game.
Yeah. They're all having to because Netflix is killing it with these shows. They're killing it with their shows. I mean,
Lake Nowhere, it should be on Shudder in the UK and in America because their Twitter page said it is.
I know. I looked for it last night. I didn't see it, but
it's Lake Nowhere, not Nowhere Lake. Yeah, it looked like a really kind of lo-fi, kind of 80s, early, like kind of late 70s, early 80s slasher movie. It's like 50 minutes long. It's not long at all.
Not to change the subject on everybody real quick, but Duncan, did you order Pan's Labyrinth Double Dip Criterion?
No, I've ordered the box set.
Oh, well, I was going to do that, but I already have the other two.
I already have the other two as well.
Just can't help yourselves, you fucking collectors.
The 80s, and I don't know if any of you guys have seen this movie, but I've been dying. I've been hearing a lot about it. It's The Pit from 1981, and they brought it on Blu-ray, and I've always wanted to watch it, and I've never been able to find it anywhere, and now I'm finally going to get to watch it whenever I get home.
The Pit.
But it's
so
about
cool.
A kid.
Who? It's Criterion's put out? Did you see
No. It's one of the little, like, Severin or somebody like that. But it's from 1981.
Oh, that poster looks
Pit,
fucking creepy.
And it's supposed to be a hidden gem in the 80s.
Yes.
I've never seen it.
Dude.
And I thought I've seen everything in the 80s.
It's amazing. And I tried to find that at one point, and I got stuck Yes, and I got stuck with Dead Pit instead and was like, this is not the movie. I know. I was like, this is not the same movie that I saw as a child. And it threw me off forever.
Awesome. Is it amazing? Because I heard it's creepy as fuck.
Dude, it is really. Me and Duncan were just talking about
it's
creepy shit from being kids.
It
was. Yeah. It's creepy.
And a kid
over
this pit with stuff coming out of it.
It's creepy as balls. So much better than Dead Pit. God, I wish I would. I knew that it just sounded like the name. What?
Is it better than The Gate?
I don't know because doesn't he call that one dude my favorite word I can't say anymore on here? Yeah, I love it. This is great. So You're putting me in a really tough position there. I can't answer that question.
Well, I mean, it's on par, perhaps.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So that's all absolutely. I need. Absolutely. I'm very stoked to see it. I've been hearing about it for years, and I've never gotten to track it down.
Yeah, that's cool. It's on Blu-ray. That's awesome.
Yeah, it just comes out Tuesday.
That is pretty awesome.
Mm. All right, so we don't know if it's good and it's worth purchasing.
I'll be all over
it
that.
It is worth purchasing. Dr. Dark, what are we doing next week, sir? Because we are out of time. It's time to go. Yep.
Are we out of time already?
Yeah, what happened to the candy?
Candy?
Ooh, what about candy? We were supposed to do Halloween's Biggest Badass.
Biggest Badass.
I got this candy.
Okay, so... We've got it pretty much narrowed down to who the contestants are going to be, because it's really hard to beat anything Reese's. Like, Team Reese's is kicking ass before we even make the bracket of the final, like, the final guys. We're not going to do a full bracket this time, because we're only keeping this through.
Who are you calling a Reese's monkey?
We're only keeping this through.
Okay, here's a quick question.
Yes.
Does candy corn include candy corn pumpkins?
No, because candy corn pumpkins taste better.
That may push candy corn way up there.
Yeah, I like
candy corn pumpkins are amazing.
I love candy corn, but candy corn pumpkins
candy
are fucking
corn
great.
Candy corn is disgusting.
And candy corn is really good, and everyone
Shut
says
the, you don't.
Everyone
can't really get
gross.
The pumpkin separate, so I would think it goes with candy corn.
No, you can get the pumpkin separate. You just don't have enough Yoder's Mennonite type stores around you, because yes, you can buy them separate. Them little bitches will pick them all out.
You can buy the holiday mix, or you can buy them separate.
There you go, and you can buy the little pieces of corn separate. You can get it all, Mark. You can get it.
Or
all
you
separate.
Can buy some good candy and leave that shit.
Okay,
sitting
well,
there.
We're gonna battle it out, all right? But we've got it down to the first, the finals here. So we're only going to carry this
I'm
through
so
Halloween
sad that
because candy,
candy corn is making it to finals.
Shut your mouth. All right. We're just trying to do this through October, where it appears that Midnight Massacre 1983 might go a little longer than just October, because everyone survived tonight. So
you
pat yourself
know.
On
That's
the back.
That's kind of awesome, though.
That is kind of awesome. Which totally means, since no one truly has died but Smoke, if more people want to come late to the party, an hour into the party, it's fine, because no major bloodshed started yet. So, we'll see who survives at the end of this thing. And, you know what we should do? We should now make, that's giving away too much. I'll leave that for next week. We'll leave it for next week. All right. So, Dark, what are we doing next week?
We're doing haunted prisons.
Oh, prisons. Yes. All right.
Women in prisons?
Yeah. Women in prisons. That sounds awesome. Way better.
That would make them haunted.
Women in prison movies. Are we doing Jess Franco movies?
Yes.
But sexploitation up in this bed.
Oh, can we do the Pete Walker film too?
But the truth
it's the one where they beat the women in the prison. It's not really a prison. They send them off to that house.
No, it's a school. What's the name of it?
House of Whipcord.
House of Whipcord.
Yes. Oh, yes. I like some Pete Walker. I can deal with that.
Yes, I know you do.
Yes, I'm big. Okay, so we're doing that. And did we figure out a Duncan defense? There was a lot of suggestions all over the freaking place.
Let me think about it overnight, right, and I'll come back. There's been at least 5 suggestions, so yeah. I will let Danny know. But via a picture that you can post on the page.
Oh, and before we go, I have to blame Duncan for something.
What did
because you sent a listener over to the wrong place. Who was this? Dean Martin. Dean Martin was over here trying to give you a guilty last week. He was actually giving you a guilty last week, but it was over at TuneIn, where you can comment under the radio station. So mm-hmm. so Dean. We did finally see it, because I saw it today. It's a week late. But
Dean's vote was counted on the Facebook page.
Oh, did he make it over to the Facebook page?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, I just wanted to address
that. He was
that
the guy that we added. He's in Ireland.
That's right.
He jumped, added and straight away said guilty, and then we talked about him jizzing in my face.
Oh, yes. Cool. That's right.
Because it was the first hour, and we can do that in the first hour.
Yes, we totally can. It seems like Dark's butthole's relaxing a little bit for the second hour, too. As long as he can get in his seriousness, he seems to relax it a little bit. So
until next week, when we discuss prisons.
Oh, it's serious. It's going to be super serious.
Yeah, the butthole is going to be
so.
The butthole will be super tight for that one.
Oh yes, let's all hope so. All right, so we are out of here. We'll catch you guys next week. Don't forget, check us out if you're listening to this on the replay. TMHSradio.com. You can check us out there live every Wednesday from 7 to 9 Eastern. Join the Facebook group. It is The Midnight Horror Show. Come join the fun. And if you want to join the games, come in. If you need to vote, you got to give your guilties and innocence, but you got to be here live to do that. You got to be here live to do that. So we know you can't make it out every week, but you should try to come and give a vote. Throw a vote.
I mean, you could. We do. So.
Oh, come on. Yeah, but other people have lives. Okay. All right. So we'll catch you guys back next week. And the phone number, I can't remember what that is. So.
If you I'll be here on Saturday.
Oh, yes, Saturday. Fancy and Friends on Saturday.
God, double
Fancy
plug. And Friends,
mystery movie. Awesome. We're going to tear it apart. Special guests be here 7 o'clock Eastern time Saturday.
Bring your VCRs.
Oh, I hope I want Undead to show up for this. I wanted to hear him try to keep giving
what,
it
Saturday,
to
what time?
Same time. It's 5 o'clock your time now.
All right, awesome. All right, cool. So check us out Saturday for that, for Mark's Fancy and Friends special show, and be back next Wednesday for the live show with Prisons and some Duncan Defends and Back to Midnight Massacre 83. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
VHS rules.